want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Stop on the run.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right, kids. Who's beaten the odds?
Yes.
And stayed married for 5 years.
Oh, I like just beating the odds. That was
right.
I always beat the odds. Not the only thing I beat.
Happy 5th anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Spiewak.
And that's how you've stayed so happily married, right?
Precisely. And all the ships at sea, proud, so proud of our properly hydrated listeners.
Oh, yes.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. A brand new episode on this Friday, October 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your phone numbers. The national number, 877-365-3636. Local number, 202-432-1067. If you live in D.C., where we are broadcasting from today, from our flagship station, WJFK. There he is right there, everybody. Little Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hello.
Let me find a phone number here real fast. What is, I know we got a special guest. We're going to get to the guest in a second.
All right.
Hey, what's Ken Stevens' phone number? I know it's not 666.
He changed it from 666 when everybody knew it.
445.
It's 445?
Whatever it is, the letter code is triple X.
I think we got, like, some monthly ratings from New York. Man. You know, the ratings that we, make a mental note, call Ken after
right.
Special guest.
All right.
445. I mean, the ratings are nothing that you want to send a telegram out about, but they're going in the right direction.
Well, so that's the important thing.
We do want to say thank you to everybody for listening to the show. He told me they were good. I don't know what they are. We'll find out in a moment. A very busy Friday show, and I want to start with a special guest.
That's good. Always nice to have a special guest
love
to
them.
Start a show with.
I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but recently on the show we've had newsmakers.
Yeah.
Last week we were humbled, or 2 weeks ago, to have Cal Ripken. It was last week, right before his final game at Camden Yards.
Right. Right.
And joining us now, if you step up to the microphone, please, I would like to bring a guy who's, frankly, he's been a topic of discussion on the show this week. We're now proud and thrilled on the Don and Mike Show to welcome our mystery guest, our newsmaker of the week, one of the preeminent radio hosts of our time.
Yes.
Hello, Rush Limbaugh.
What? What? I'm deaf, you know. Call me Johnny Donnell because I'm not able to hear you.
You want to take that from the top?
He sounds like Cal Ripken.
Let's take that from the top. Let's welcome radio's Rush Limbaugh.
What? What? I'm deaf, you know. Call me Johnny Donnell because I'm so not able to hear you.
Are you really deaf, Rush Limbaugh?
You bet, asswipe. Hold on. Let me do my signature piece. The duck, the duck, the duck. I, the deaf, the deaf, the deaf.
How deaf are you, Rush Limbaugh?
Actually, not deaf at all, Captain. I have 20/20 hearing. Big ratings ploy, you see.
So it's a ratings ploy. Is this smart on your part, Rush Limbaugh?
Don't know, but I keep pretending, and my staff of highly paid medical spokespeople will keep denying.
So that is your master plan?
Yes, Don, asswipe. It is, and brilliant, But for now, let's keep pretending I can't hear you.
Well, then how are you answering my questions?
What? I'm kidding, of course. Wink, wink.
Boy, that rush.
Okay.
I think the hearing has affected his speech, though.
I'm going to say this loudly. What is your opinion on the war effort?
Don't, yeah. We know I can hear you.
Right, right. Okay, you can hear.
Ye.
The war, good, bad?
Real good. Ratings, good. Too bad the death scheme was already in action. But now I've got two money promotions cooking for the fall book. Great radio, son.
What do you mean? What do you mean promotions, Rush?
Yes. I only hope that it doesn't overload and confuse my robotic, narrow-minded, wide-assed, dimly informed EIB lunkhead listeners. Remember, Asswipe, the fat man loves the idiot.
You're a kind radio host, Rush.
F you, F-Bar. I'm a common DJ, just like you. I'm only three bad books away from being Jeff Christie again.
Jeff Christie?
Yes, Captain. Remember me polluting the Pittsburgh airwaves as a bad top 40 jack? Thumb in the air, Vanity Fair, 13K music radio.
I remember. Sure, we play the tape on the show, but back to your deafness, Rush.
Not deaf, just pretending done.
Right. So you're just fooling your listeners.
Oh, that's tricky. Like hoodwinking a dog. Idiotic EI Biggles. Kiss my ass, Lemmings.
It doesn't sound like the same old Rush.
What about what I read in the papers about your hearing aid procedure?
I've tried every hearing aid there is.
And?
They were delicious.
Wait, you ate the hearing aids?
Of course. Why not? There's nothing wrong with my hearing.
Do you have any health problems at all?
Just one.
Oh, here's some news then. Tell us, right now the Don and Mike Show, what is your health problem?
I have contracted full-blown AIDS from Tony Siragusa and Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, wow, no. Oh, no.
Yes, yes, yes. We made love in the Bromo Salsa Tower, and then we got drunk and massaged each other.
So you have full-blown AIDS?
Yep. That's the reason for the weight loss.
That is shocking, Rush.
Well, gotta go. I think I might fake a heart attack at noon today.
On the air?
Of course. What use would it be otherwise? Good day to you, sir.
Rush?
I said good day.
Good day to you, sir.
Rush Limbaugh.
There he goes.
Radio pundit.
You know, he's much more foul-mouthed in person than he is on the radio.
Yeah. Well, we're proud of the Don and Mike Show when we can to bring you the timely, topical news makers.
How are you able to get these guests? We get Cal Ripken when he's going to retire, and then we get Rush Limbaugh when he's been in the news all week long.
Mike, I can't tell you our secrets, but just let me say, next week, look forward to our exclusive interview with Bin Laden.
Ah, oh, wow.
Osama Bin Laden on the show.
That ought to be significant.
To hear that.
Coming in the studio next week.
Wow.
Osama Bin Laden.
Pretty incredible.
Okay, let me try can here. Ah, the phone's still busy. Will someone go upstairs and tell him to take the call?
This is big. I mean, I want to know what the ratings are.
Listen, they're still, you know, they're as big as Rob's penis. I mean, they're tiny.
But they're moving forward.
Yes, but that's what I hear. They're moving in the...
So you don't know... Well, wait a minute. You hear... you're confusing me. Do you know the number? Or?
No, I don't. I don't know the number. I just know that they're
getting...
You can't
say it's not that big a deal?
That they're getting bigger. That's all I know.
And now, is that the metaphor? That it's getting bigger? Or that it's small? I don't know whether I'm insulted or...
Yeah, that's right. Rob's very sensitive about penis size jokes.
Let me just say this.
Yes?
Our ratings are...
Circumcised?
Our ratings are bigger than your penis.
Thank you.
But not as big as the zit on your nose.
That's right. Well,
how is that doing? It's
better. Are the ratings oozing? We're mixing metaphors.
Your zit has gotten better. The first day, it actually was... It was taking up some surface area on your face.
Is it spread, and now it's on my shoulder and down to my knee.
Oh,
it's one big four-foot zit.
One gigantic zit. All right.
It just looks like I've been in a fight.
Is Ken ducking our calls?
No, I think he's doing other stuff upstairs.
Oops.
What am I doing? Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I was just told by your radio station. I started listening to you guys this week. It sounds good.
Oh,
I have two questions to ask you.
Yeah.
Who threw the first gutter ball in bowling?
That would be me.
That would be Buzz Burbank.
Right.
And who lost the 5,000 in the football game last night?
Who lost the what?
The 5,000.
Yeah, they picked Georgia to win that game against Maryland.
Who? You're talking about another show, my friend.
Are you talking about yourself?
What? I don't know. That I just want to say for you young broadcasters, that's an example of not a good first call.
No, not at all. Not by a long shot.
Take on your radio show. Hello?
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 Yes, hello?
Hello?
Is this Ken?
Speaking.
Oh, here he is, everybody.
Hey, that was interesting, Ken. I didn't recognize his voice.
That was like Ken doing the Timmy thing, pretending he was Rush.
Very, very cool.
That was him. So listen, what were the ratings for our first month on the new shift in New York? They were up?
They were up.
Dang. Up to a what?
3.5 to 3.7.
Okay, we'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on up. Hey, Dave, Mike, don't shrug your shoulders.
You know me. I want it all done. I want it all tomorrow.
But if it was 3.5 to 3.3,
then I'd be up on top of the building.
You'd be pissed. Okay, well, thank it. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, that's good. And that's from 2 months ago. That's even better, right?
Yes, that's right.
Exactly.
An increase.
It was like a 2-something,
up to a 3-something, and now up to a
3.7.
So there you go. How about that?
Hey, here's one you'll like.
What's that?
In a male demographic where last was a 3.3 and the show was number 10, this book, it's a 4.9 and number 5.
Oh, wow. I'll take that. That's terrific. What is that demographic? Is that guys with one ear and one gonad?
What's one ear tattooed?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay.
It's men 25 to 44 years old.
Yeah, it's one of them isolated demographics. Right. Okay, but this wasn't even the ratings book. This was just like one of the monthly deals.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you to the good people of New York for embracing this show. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks, Ken.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so he was just getting that on the computer as I was coming down the hallway today. And all
he's giddy, though. He's happy when he does that. Hello.
All he said was, hello. Hey, the numbers are up.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know what he was expecting. He put us on live, 40 days ago, and I think he was expecting today to get, like, Titanic numbers or something.
I'm not sure, but I like the direction they're going in New York. And we're going to keep you posted every step of the way.
Yes, good. We'll let you know if we suck ass, as we have before, or you know, if you guys support the show. So thank you for listening.
Right.
We appreciate that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I hope this is a better first call.
Is this Gladys?
Hi, guys.
Oh, Gladys Kravitz.
Be quiet. I haven't talked to you guys in a long time.
Is she Rob?
No, this is my October call. I called Don on his birthday in September.
And thanks for the card.
This is a lady.
You're welcome.
This is a lady in Kansas who we only allow to call once a month because she's so goddamn annoying. Now, listen, you could not ask for a better listener of a radio show.
Right.
No, she listens every day. Bless her heart.
And she's sexy.
I've lost 18 pounds.
Wow.
She's drop dead sexy.
Wow. You've lost 18 pounds.
Well, it's hard. I've lost very slow.
Baby, send us another one of those glamour shots.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I called this bowling alley.
Hold on. Rob's got a comment.
That's exactly what I was going to say, GK. You can really only use half a call today because you already used half a call when you called the bowling alley.
Oh, get out of here.
You look
for anything, Rob.
Did she call the bowling alley?
Yes, she did. She issued some sort of lame challenge.
She called the bowling alley in Queens on Wednesday night?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're not coming out to bowl in your town, Gladys.
Hold on, you're kidding me. She's in Wichita, Kansas, and she found the bowling alley in Queens and called?
I am resourceful.
Mm-hmm. She is a fan of the show. You got to,
my challenge to you guys was that...
Listen.
What?
That's what I like about your calls, Gladys. Somebody will be talking and
listen.
Isn't it funny how she uses the word listen?
She says listen to absolutely interrupt.
Kids, I can say listen.
You are like, I just realized it. You're the greatest interrupter of anybody that ever calls this show.
No, I'm not.
We love you. We love you, though, Gladys.
Yes.
May I speak?
Yeah, sure, what?
Well, I called James and I asked him, you be quiet, Rob.
No, that was Mike.
Okay.
Listen.
Please. I had a challenge out there for you guys, for your bowling team, for your whole season.
Listen!
Yep. Challenge?
What, Gladys? What, Gladys? What's the challenge?
Gladys, listen.
The challenge is for our listeners to see how many of you will leave the radio on while this lady's calling us.
I'm here still.
Okay, Gladys.
I was going to donate to the American Red Cross $5 for every turkey you guys bowled all season long.
For every gutter ball?
No.
Yes.
Okay, that's a beautiful sentence.
What's a turkey?
But that may not happen, so maybe I'll go down to two strikes in a row.
She's, that's what it is.
Take a breath, darling.
I did.
A turkey is three consecutive strikes.
I am well aware of that.
Ah!
Oh, that's what she's going to pay for, three strikes in a row?
Yeah.
Oh, how generous. You might have to pay out like $5 by the end of the year.
Does that mean...
I'll go down to two strikes in a row.
Does that mean...
We'll call that a duck.
You know, she's the only caller that makes your feelings hurt. Chewing on tinfoil.
You can't talk to her. That's what I hate about Gladys.
Yes, you can.
It's a love-hate thing. I love you, but I hate
you,
Gladys.
I know. It's a love-hate relationship.
All right, Gladys, thank you. Thank you. Whatever. If you hear our bowling scores every Thursday on the show.
Yes,
and,
I do.
And if for some reason we can make you donate money to the Red Cross, that's great.
Yeah.
Hey, now, I'm a grandmother.
See? See, this has nothing to do with turkeys or anything. It is about Gladys communicating.
What do we have to bowl to make her donate a tonsil?
Congratulations. Congratulations on being a grandmother.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your tolerance,
thank
Gladys.
You.
Okay.
We will look forward to hearing from you 30 days from now.
Yes.
Okay, goodbye.
Listen, bye.
Okay, bye. Listen.
Listen, bye. You are remarkably tolerant of that woman today, and I know Rob and I really couldn't maintain there.
I took my meds. Good man. I had a feeling Gladys might be calling in today.
Your attack.
The Don and Mike Gunner Balls, our world-renowned bowling team, next Wednesday night right here in the D.C. area, Burke, Virginia. We're going to be at Burke Bowl America.
Very good.
We will hit the lanes at about 9:30. It'll be a late game next Wednesday night.
9:30?
9:30. That's the kickoff.
All right.
For our bowling. Hello, Michelle in Queens.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, honey. We're doing great.
I watched, I don't know if this is a repeat, but I watched Craig Kilborn last night.
Yep.
And Leah Remini was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered her $100 to take her bra off out of her shirt. She turned him down.
Really?
They were busting each other's chops last night. It was pretty funny. She gave him good attitude.
Yeah, she's a hot, spicy lady. I think the only other time that she was on the Craig Kilborn show was when she mentioned our names that time,
right? Yes.
So then she said $100 not enough, so then he started pulling out the 20. She goes, no, forget it, just stop.
I'd like to see her breasts.
But she's, I used to listen to you, I've been listening to you since when I was living in Florida. You had some lady on Sherry?
We had some what?
Some lady was working with you, Sherry.
Oh yes, one of the many people who have sat in the fourth chair on the show.
I just want to say you guys are good. I didn't know if it was a repeat last night, but she was funny.
Yeah, Leah's very hot, very funny. Thank you for the call.
Okay, bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Now I just can't get it out of my head. I'm thinking of Leah with her top off.
Mm. Hello, Ken.
Yeah.
Don and Mike show. Hi.
Hey, you were talking about D.C. yesterday. I tried to get through. I was involved in a holdup yesterday in D.C.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and I was 2 feet away from the guy, and he was struggling with the owner of the store, I was calling 911, and I got voicemail, got put on hold for 3 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, we used to have a bit about that.
We used to have an old tape about that. That is not a new phenomenon in D.C.
You actually really, I did that as a bit, but you did that, you really got put on hold?
Yeah, I called up and I was right there. I was working on the guy's ATM machine, and they busted in and started yelling, "Give me the effing money! Give me the effing money!" And they started wrestling with the guy, and I went out the door and called 911, and I got, "Please wait while we have an operator come on." And I waited for 3 minutes with a voicemail. Finally, when I got through, the moron couldn't figure out where I was.
Are you sure you didn't call 411?
Yeah, sure.
Not really. Because aren't there tons of instances where people mean to call 911 and 411 and vice versa?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but I've got an emergency number on my phone. I just hit 9 and automatically dials 911.
That's scary.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
That's great. Good thing it wasn't a terrorist.
And, hey, FBI, I just want to say this to you. I thought the Bush last night was great, but FBI, nice warning. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much.
I feel safer now.
Right.
You know, I feel safer that you just came out. The FBI just...
You said a terrorist attack is imminent.
Yeah, and, you know, sometime in the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Don't know.
Where is it?
Gone.
Don't know. Yeah, hey, you know, nice warning.
Yeah.
I'd rather not have a warning than have a warning that says something's going to happen.
You're among the majority.
Somewhere.
You're among the majority of Americans that feel the same way about that.
I mean, I would appreciate, I mean, if, you know, obviously if they got the bad stuff coming here to D.C. or up to New York or you know, to Los Angeles, let us know.
Right.
But if it's, if, you know, if it's just a bunch of calls that you're getting... Yeah, please. I'd rather not know.
I think even the president was saying that last night when he said, I hope that's the last warning of this type we hear from the FBI. That sounded to me like a message to the FBI. Hey, stop it.
I don't want to slam our leaders because I know they're doing the best they can. But when I see John Ashcroft interviewed, I get the impression he's more scared than I am. That bugs me a little bit.
John Ashcroft?
Yeah.
You mean, the FBI guy?
Yeah, I mean, I know he's got to take everything seriously, and he's probably getting a lot of intelligence information that we don't see that would probably freak us all out, but it's, it's just a weird world we live in.
All I know is it makes people not want to, leave their houses in junk
when
the FBI's coming out and saying something could happen in the next couple of days, and then, what was the ridiculous email that we got? Hold on, let me get my wife. We got... You know, I'm sure everybody gets these emails, but we got one from a family member that I don't want to out the family member because she's a sweet girl, but we just got it. We looked at it and we just... What?
So, what do you call him, 911?
Yeah. We shook our heads ruefully as we looked at this. Also, I got to tell you, both Frieda and I last night equally disappointed in Survivor. I'm off that bandwagon.
Me too.
I'm done with that.
TiVo it, so I didn't get a chance to see it.
Not going back to it. Same crap as every other time. Same crap. I mean, people just lugging stuff around. You know, some guy eats a couple of cherries and then eats a can of beans and lies about it. And they can't decide. Oh, she's not there. They can't decide who they're going to kick off the island. I'm bored with the whole
concept,
the whole format of Survivor now.
Don't you think reality programming in general right now is different? You perceive it differently. How can you look at reality programming nowadays, no matter what it is, and feel like... Because I mean, the world has changed as far as that kind of programming is going to. Oh, hey, a guy's going to bungee jump off a cliff. Well, yeah, whoop-de-effin-do.
I disagree. I'm still up for it. I'm up for the release that these shows offer. All I'm saying is that this Survivor 3, is just like Survivor 2.
The thing is,
which was just like Survivor 1.
I just watch all these reality shows right now, and I'm thinking that, you know, there are people in real life that, have done so much more than these shows. When before that, you'd watch these shows and like, hey man, look, he's going to eat a slug. You know, that's yeah, a pretty big deal.
I still like Fear Factor. I'd watch Fear Factor if that was on again.
And they pulled that, right?
Well, I think they just, it's like one of them they're going to bring back.
I think it may be back,
when
yeah.
another show does bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the Survivor...
I'm looking for escapism now.
We watched it last night, and we sat there, we just said, eh, BFD.
But you know...
you can leave a message or not.
Game shows, though.
She's not there.
Game shows will persevere through all tough times.
I told you the ad I saw up in New York on Channel 7.
No.
I told you this, didn't I? Where is Alex Trebek standing in front of the flag?
Yeah, right.
And he goes... And he's got his arms on his side like Superman, like the Superman pose, and he goes, hi, New York! I'm Alex Trebek. In these times of trouble, Jeopardy is here for you every night at 7 on ABC 7.
Thanks so much for your help.
All right, so here's the email. I don't know where my wife is. I'll have to relay it to you the best I can. She says, we get this email from some member of the family, and it goes like this, that on September 6th, somebody that somebody else knows, and I'm sure everybody's got, urban legend stuff.
I think I heard this on the news, if it's the one you're doing.
Somebody that somebody else knows said, don't get in an airplane on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And is this the shopping mall one?
Yeah. And now the thing is that the same person, apparently, or someone else is now saying, don't go into a mall on Halloween.
This is fiction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and of course it's fiction.
But, I mean, it's popular. I mean, this is all over the country now.
And we get this from one of my nieces, and she sends it, and she says it like, I know that there's a bunch of hoaxes, but this one I really believe.
Oh, my I'm God. Only,
why do people do this?
Well, she means it, you know, in the message, I'm only sending this to the
horrible,
family,
man.
The people that I love. Yeah. And
it's really, and the internet is one of the worst sources for all this crap, and people are, you know, it's playing into the fear right now, and that's, it's unfortunate. I'm sure she does mean well, but
she does. No, we got it, and I hope she's not listening today. We laughed when we saw it. I mean,
it originates. I don't think it's
goofy.
You would think that it would come from terrorist type people because they'd like to paralyze us and not. But I don't think so. I think it comes from yahoos on the internet that they're not terrorists that are doing this kind of crap.
Why are people so ready to believe that stuff when they see it? I don't understand that either. Well, part of it is fueled, in fact, I think, by the fact like that the FBI's come out with this thing saying that. Because now, that's a credible source. The female body inspectors, the FBI's, that's, right there, that's a credible source.
Can I point out, though, that you know, we were up, you remember when we were up there, and in the days right after this, in fact, that day itself, we were ready for everything to start blowing up. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it didn't happen then. And you know what? Yes, do we have to be vigilant. Yes, we have to pay attention to what's going on. But I think it's important to, you know, accentuate the fact that, no, it didn't happen right after the World Trade Center. That, you know, that they planned this and they did it. They executed it in its, you know, in all of its horror. But the fact is that, you know, it has been over a month now. And, we have to be on guard. We have to be vigilant. We have to be on alert. But I feel good that, you know, that the time has passed and that week in particular, when we thought everybody was going to be attacked, nothing happened.
Are we going to have some kind of national meeting, though, every 11th now? I mean, on November 11th, are we going to have, and I don't mean this like not to have a remembrance, but
today
I mean,
is the anniversary of the coal being bombed out, you know, in the Middle East, and they're saying that, you know, that might be a significant date, you know.
Yeah, well, please, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. I mean, you know, there's a ton of goddamn dates out there. I mean, that wasn't a terrorist attack, but there are many dates, many significant dates you can pull upon.
And aren't they still saying no credible threat? Isn't that what they're saying?
That's what they're saying.
And I think we have to, do we have to be on alert? Yeah, because thinking this. They probably have particular dates where they say they might act.
Mike, here you go. I don't want to alarm anyone. But I just want to say that 4 years ago today, John Denver crashed his plane. You might want
coincidence.
You might want to think about that,
Don. That is brilliant, brilliant right there.
I got it right here off my DJ Pop Culture date book.
There it is.
28 years ago today, Spyro Agnew resigned.
And I like it when you call him Spyro.
Spyro Agnew.
And right before he resigned, did he die or did he resign?
He resigned. He then died, but yes, he resigned.
That's in many form the group Spyro Gyra.
And sold all those notebooks.
Let me see. And 18 years ago today, the last hand-operated washing machine was manufactured by Maytag.
Not in my house.
All of these are reasons we should be very afraid, everybody.
Laura asked me the other day for a washing machine, and I said, come on, like we don't have a stream in back of that house.
No, you say what I said to Frida. Come on, you know, God gave you two great washing machines. You see those? Hanging on the end of your arms, honey.
Yeah, those two things are a washer and a dryer.
And if you really get pressed for time, you got an extra set down there. You're wearing shoes on them right now.
You can also use it as a garbage disposal.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Radio Guy.
Hi, you're on the air. Kevin.
How you doing, man?
Okay.
Hey, you said you were watching Survivor last night. Did you see the one guy, the one tribe who had the blue shirt on and the floppy brown hair? Every single time they were pulling the that cutter out, he would fall flat on his face.
Yeah, now they had like these. You know what? I'm perpetuating the Survivor myth and the mystique of it by telling you what they did last night with these carts that they had to pull around.
Are you going
to
completely abandon Survivor, where you just won't watch anymore?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to have to. And I thought last night that they tried too hard to tweak it up to make the brother, the basketball coach, into the bad guy.
How's Jeff Probst looking?
Oh, the same. Yeah, dreamy, Mike. Absolutely just freaking dreamy. Now, I'm off that bandwagon. Plus, as far as I could surmise, there's no hot POA on this edition of Survivor.
Wow, forget it. What if it gets killer ratings? What if it, like, all of a sudden, you know, maybe gets just, like, an unbelievable
rating? Look, this show gets killer ratings, so there's no accounting for taste in America. Look, you just heard our ratings in New York are going up to 3.7.
No, I'm just saying, if it gets killer ratings, will you go back to it?
No, I'm afraid that I'm gonna turn my back on it.
All right.
I've had my fill of it. I watched it one night, and I thought, you know what? Hey, screw it.
Done.
But I'll tell you this. I'm not going to watch that goddamn Will and Grace instead.
Also a good decision.
Because that was the other thing that my wife wanted. She said, well, because, you know, the schedules were all screwed up last night because Bush was on TV.
Right.
So we watched the stupid Survivor that I want to watch. And she says, now watch the show I want to watch. We watch Will and Grace, and it's like the gay guy who's...
The guy that makes all the entrances?
And they're all gay on that show except the girl, right?
Cliche. So. He makes like 15 cliche entrances a show.
And they got the one broad on that show. Who talks like this.
That phony voice.
The real high... It's not a Fran Drescher voice.
Do you think that I could do this?
It's almost like your Daniel Snyder voice.
Yeah. Yeah, only a little more, you know...
It's a little up like this, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, but she loves that show for some reason.
My wife likes it, too. I don't get it.
I don't know. I think it's because girls like homos.
Maybe that's
you know, girls feel.
Is it just that, or is there something else going on?
I don't know. Women, you know, to a woman, a homo's like another woman.
And I don't dislike the show because of the gay guys. I dislike the show because I don't think it's funny.
It's right. Not funny.
It's not
right.
Funny.
It's
right.
Funny. And then we got another giant fight, which is not a giant fight, but a TV fight, because I got home, we watched Survivor, which she didn't want to watch, and I made her watch it with me. And then we watched the Will and Grace, which I didn't want to see, and we saw it. Then I said, okay, now we're going to watch the Yankees for a while. I said, I don't want to watch the Yankees. I want to watch Just Shoot Me. I said, just shoot me, please. You want me to watch that show? Then take the advice, please. Just shoot me. So I get, then I go, and I watch the Yankees get their asses kicked last night.
Damn. Yankees aren't scoring any runs.
Oh, right. No, that series is over. I got news for you.
I want to apologize. I really do. I was saying with the alcohol and with the, you know, with the tragedy and everything, but the other night I came back and I was actually doing something I'd never done, being a Red Sox fan, rooting for the Yankees, and... Look.
Yeah, well.
Okay?
Stop
look,
it.
I just want everybody to know I'm not going to root for them anymore.
Good.
They're going to come back and they're going to win three in a row.
Nope, not a chance, Mike. They're out.
Nobody's ever come back and done that in a five-game series.
They're deader than John Denver is. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How's it going?
Hi.
All right. Hey, I'm in Spokane here, and I got a story for you guys.
Yes, sir.
In today's paper, there's an article about five or so guys robbed a... some stereo shop or something here.
Yeah.
And two of the guys were dressed as Batman and Robin.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
And one is Casper.
Yes. Oh, you knew that.
See, now look. Now, you've heard Buzz's feelings.
Oh, no, not at all.
That was going to be one of the stories on the Buzz News
no,
show.
No,
I'm
wasn't.
Sorry, Buzz.
What about the fourth guy? What was the fourth guy dressed as?
They didn't say.
Exactly. He was dressed as the Invisible Man.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
No, but Buzz, see, you knew about it because you had it for your news show.
I knew about it. I saw and I rejected the story for not being thick enough.
Not thick enough.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Didn't you have it in your emergency stack, though?
Oh, yeah. I always keep those things handy.
You know, I'll give you a fallacy on the Don and Mike Show. Let me take you behind the scenes on the inner works of the Don and Mike Show. That a lot of times, you know, people will call, Buzz's people will call and say, God, you don't give Buzz any time for news and you interrupt him. And like yesterday we had Mankind in, then Bonnie Bernstein came in, and Buzz only had time. Like for, you know, like 10 stories or something. Well, I recall one time a couple of weeks ago that the show was running on time for a change.
Much to my surprise.
Yeah, Buzz has to be ready every day because you never know what's going to happen. So we go to Buzz and we go through the first segment of news and he comes to me during the break and he goes, I don't think I got enough for another segment.
Uh-huh.
So, see, there's right there. There's the fallacy.
I was concerned.
Right? That he's, you know, he's, okay, we cut him off and we interrupt him and stuff. But maybe if he had more stories, we wouldn't interrupt him.
Let's go to the news next.
How many stories you got today, Buzz? Oh, no.
Right now?
I'm kidding, Buzz.
Look at him.
I am kidding.
Did you see him?
If he actually turned pale.
Did you see him flip out? He did the thing with his hand in the air.
I blanched.
No. Oh, no, don't go to the news now.
No, that would be a bad idea.
For God's sakes, don't do that now.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Are you there?
Speak to us.
All right, we got time for one more call that we got to bring. I promised everybody we would get to the Larry King Daddy Dear Daughter Dear
today. Oh, good.
And we're going to do that in our next break today. Absolutely we are. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Don and Mike, Radio Gods. How you guys doing today?
Hey, the Mother Chucker. Hi there.
Hey, I was calling one to see if you guys have ever thought about doing maybe a Don and Mike Sega Super Bowl where you get like 10 or 12 guys together, put some money in a pot, and play to your heart's content.
Oh, you mean what, video games?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
talking a lot. But what I really talked about was trying to help you guys out on your bowling there. What they do is you guys are going to places where they got a lot of local pros, a lot of house people, which know the shot and conditions and can play on that all night long. What you do is you ask, to make things a little even, is to go ahead and ask them to try to put a sport condition shot out. The sport condition shot will take those house pros, basically turn their averages into yours.
Well, who knew that even in the world of bowling, there was like all this inside talk?
I had no idea.
It's too complicated.
But
I don't know. Goodbye. Just come see us Wednesday night. We're bowling Wednesday night. Hello, Craig in Jersey. Craig, hi.
Hey, Don and Mike. Donna, first I want to tell you that the death knell of Survivor is that Friends beat it in the ratings last night.
Oh, did it really?
That was the first thing that hasn't happened. And the second thing is I want to let you know that I'm part of those strong New York ratings because your show, when you came on, had replaced the New York show that I was enjoying. So, like a lot of New York fans, I was mad. And I said, and then I heard O&A say, give these guys a chance. You got to give them a month. And you know what? Sure enough, Damn, they were right. So gave you guys a chance, and now they voted Dynamite.
I like to hear that. That's a very nice compliment.
Beautiful. Thanks, Owen.
Thank you. Also for the kind words. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Open your window. Scream it out. Tell everybody, please.
Because I got news for you.
A 3-7 or whatever we've got.
Right.
That's still not thick.
Not thick enough.
Right.
But certainly better than it was.
Thank you for the support. Let's clear the lines out now and get a call. 1-800-877-365-3636-202-432-1067. Dial recklessly, you animals. We'll take the 100th caller. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They're on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning. And totally destroyed them. You could doctor tapes.
Right. It's an extra-large show in a medium-sized package. The Don and Mike program.
Just let me say to everybody right now. Hey.
Oi!
Oi. Somebody said, hey, it's oi.
Oi.
Oi. Oi, vey. Oi.
Out in my house, I have pizza.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I am caller 100.
Yeah, hi, what's your name?
My name is Evan.
Evan, where are you from?
Iowa City.
Evan, you won the Band of Brothers prize pack.
All right.
On this Band of Brothers Sunday night.
All right.
On HBO.
Love it, man.
Hey, this reminds me of, remember that disc jockey Mason Dixon?
Mason Dixon, man, wearing his Dick Tracy raincoat.
Mason Dixon, never heard of him.
Of course you haven't. He works down in Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay.
Whenever they would fry a guy in the electric chair.
Right.
Would play this song on their morning zoo, like
it says it was like turbo redneck.
Yeah, they play it like the top of every hour.
Hey man,
coming to you live from Tampa Bay. Proud to say that we got another guy going in the chair today.
That's frying today, baby.
Let's fry him.
Let's fry right now.
Band of Brothers, that's a Sunday night, a new episode.
All right, that's great, Dynamite. Thanks.
9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on the HBO.
All right, love you guys, man.
Thank you for listening. Buzz, you do have the ratings about Survivor?
I do. The ratings are a mess last night because the president ended at about a quarter of 9 Eastern time, so it's all sort of broken down into quarter hours. The first part of Friends beat the first part of Survivor with a 15-5 to a 12-1 in the ratings. That's a 22 share versus an 18 share. Second part of Friends beat the second part of Survivor 15.7 to 13.8 in the ratings. That's a 23 share over a 20 share. The rest of Survivor, it's very complicated, but the rest of Survivor was beaten both by Will and Grace and by Just Shoot Me.
Ouch.
Both NBC and CBS beat the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I'm jumping off that bandwagon at the perfect time.
You are a trendsetter.
Mm-hmm. Knew it when I saw it last night.
And hi, Helen.
Who's Helen?
Thomas. Oh, whenever the president has a press conference and I see her, I know she listens to us the next day, and I always send out a little special message to my lady.
Hey, Rob, you and I could have a writing meeting. She could be another good one for us to interview.
Yes, it would be good.
So Friday, Helen Thomas.
Hi, Helen. With an outrageous accent.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Thank you, Captain. All right, listen, the last couple of days, things have been crazy. We had the guys puking and going to the bathroom and Mankind and Bonnie Bernstein and the bowling. And even today, we're jammed up. We got all of the Friday favorites, but I promised everybody yesterday we would get to Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Right.
The Larry King book on tape. You've heard us set it up. Let's just go right to it. This is on number one?
Real one.
Number one. Here we go.
This audiobook is dedicated to all divorced.
I think we can...
Are we taking it from the top again?
I think we can skip past...
Yeah.
Let's just pick it up.
Please.
No, Rob. We're operating under the gun today. Let's just skip ahead
to where we left off.
Larry picks the kid up. to where he disses the mom.
Speed reading.
Right, Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Where we did with Mankind yesterday.
I went to my car real early in the morning. I know she loves this car. It's a convertible. I put the top down, and I zip over to my...
Of course, everybody knows that this is a book on tape about Larry King getting divorced from one of his 15 wives.
A book for kids.
Yes, a book for kids, and he's forcing his daughter. Sounds like one of those terrorist videos where someone's been kidnapped. It's forcing her to read her part.
We don't know if he's forcing her, but she sure sounds like it.
On a day with Daddy, I kiss my mom goodbye and run to my father's dark brown Cougar with the tan color inside.
You know, we could just play the first part every day and laugh every day.
We could. I mean, it does not diminish when we play it every time.
It's a big car, and Daddy's leather boots shine as we drive along.
Daddy.
We have a secret. Daddy lets me steer the car from the center of the seat.
Come here, sit on Daddy's lap.
It's not a secret now. It's been published!
He always makes me feel grown up and special.
There's a brief hello to her mother. Just brief.
Just brief? Because she left me.
Just brief? Hi, bitch! Where's the deduction?
Put the deduction in the car.
Little Kaya is in the car, and the thrilling day begins.
There you go.
We always go to her favorite place. She doesn't tell any of her friends about it. She doesn't tell her mother about it.
There's the second, in like less than 30 seconds, the second big. Mm-hmm.
Just brief. Mother doesn't know about it.
Now listen. Over there, this is a place. You're going to see some beautiful animals. It's called a racetrack.
We're going to play the horses.
Maybe your dog knows, but I doubt it.
The first place Daddy takes me is to our secret park.
Okay, now this is always where we've stopped the test.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Because we just let our imaginations run wild.
Then we really get bad.
Okay, so let's see now. We'll now discover exactly what the secret park is that they go to.
My Daddy and I know where this park is. It has a magical feeling to it, like being in the wilderness. We live in Florida, where it is almost always sunny and the clouds are beautiful.
Their secret park is Hialeah Park.
That's it. Hialeah. Kaya, do you like dogs? Daddy's taking you to a dog track today.
It's a magical place.
Now, we're going to play a phonetics game. There's a word that sounds like H but starts with J. It's high. High lie.
Kaya, would you like to put the wages down again? Here we go.
Trees and flowers grow everywhere.
Kaya gets to play among all the things she likes so much, her special things in her secret place.
Oh,
when
my.
She's finished playing, she always comes over to me and gives me...
Wait a minute, she plays with special things in her secret place?
I'm not sure.
I know. We're all thinking the same thing. All right, do that again for Daddy.
Ian gives me a little hug and says, this will always be our special place.
Oh, my God.
I play on the swings for a while, and then Daddy says it is time for lunch.
Let's sing.
Lunch is always Burger King, because Kyle loves it there.
And my God, it's cheap. I get the meal for $2.99.
Let's go to Burger King. Get back in the car. Come on, I got a date.
Go to Burger King.
Lunch is always Burger King, because Kaya loves it there.
Yeah.
If we're going out to eat, that's her favorite place.
Right.
I have a Whopper and fries, and Daddy asks me how I am doing. I tell him...
Daddy has a cigarette.
Daddy, yeah, that didn't sound like it was too pre-read. Daddy asked me how I am doing.
Right. I miss him and how lonely the house is without both of my parents there. Daddy tells me things happen in life that aren't always good, like divorce. He says it wasn't my fault and that both he and my mommy love me very much.
Daddy is lying.
It was Daddy's fault. That's what Daddy ought to say.
We have our usual conversation while Kaya eats. We talk about life in general, how things are going.
I got to shut down this week on my show with Dr. Arafat.
It was fantastic. You wouldn't believe that.
What, you drew a picture? That's great. I had Ted Kennedy on my show.
Ted Turner took me to his ranch.
It was something on her mind, except boys. She hates boys. Later, this will change drastically. Trust me.
Trust me.
Yeah.
He knows all. Trust me.
When I finish eating, Daddy says we are going someplace very special.
The racetrack.
The monkey jungle.
The where?
The monkey jungle.
The monkey jungle. Later, Daddy will pay for lunch with a bad check.
Come on, let's go to the monkey jungle. If I get my plug on my show, they'll let us in for free.
Hiya, it's the monkey jungle.
Monkey jungle.
When I finish eating, Danny says we are going someplace very special, the monkey jungle. It is a park with different kinds of monkeys, including chimpanzees and gorillas. Danny buys me cotton candy, and we stroll together in the sunshine.
After lunch, I suggest we go to the monkey jungle. We both love this place, which is literally a jungle full of monkeys and parrots.
I spot a large cage with a huge black gorilla with a silver back. I run up to the cage and see that his name is Booyah. I call out to him, and he turns around and charges right at me.
Then, he throws his feces at my daddy. Kaya!
I just like the monkeys going mad at the monkey
right
jungle.
At me.
Kaya, being a friendly sort, leans up against the cage and yells, Bulu! Bulu turns around, takes one step toward Kaya, and she runs out of the monkey jungle.
Help,
drop
daddy!
The cotton candy and run for my life.
I run, but I daddy trip on my half boots.
With me and hugs me, so I won't be afraid. I feel safe with him.
Oh, yeah, sure. What kid wouldn't feel safe with Larry King?
Oh, my God. Too much information.
I run fiercely behind her down South 60 Highway.
I run fiercely behind her, struggling for air.
Slow down. Damn you, child.
I can't run in these double mids.
Needless to say, we do not visit Bulu again.
Bulu. I need some music to make me sound like I'm human.
What is this?
We head to the movie theater where Pinocchio is playing, and we get a perfect seat.
Hey, that's a perfect
right
movie for Daddy.
The movie is great.
The movie is about a guy who works for CNN. He leaves wife after wife after wife.
And also, every time he says that he played stickball with Sandy Koufax, his nose grows.
All of a sudden, Jiminy Cricket starts to sing, When You Wish Upon a Star, and I jump up and cry, Daddy! They're playing our song. I am so happy that the song Daddy and I share has become famous.
Ah, they both have a desire for fame.
I think the song was famous before Larry King got divorced. And every time Daddy lies to me, his glasses grow.
And his head shrinks.
Every night before Kaya went to sleep, before the divorce, I would sing her favorite song, When You Wish Upon a Star. I loved holding her and looking up at the stars and pointing. And I would sing the words.
Spraying my smoky breath through the room.
Wonderful, soft voice way.
Can you imagine, even if that's true, anything more hideous for a young child? When you wish upon a star.
Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit.
The star daddy wishes upon is Angie Dickinson. Big Band Mama.
Cindy Garvey.
Raquel Welch.
Sean King.
Later, we go to Daddy's apartment.
Oh, no.
And I think how strange it is to see his things so far from home.
His things.
His things. His dildos.
Oh, God.
His leather. His leather.
His
leather.
His rubber ball.
His prophylactic.
Oh, God, Daddy.
Mom packed a dress for me that's so blue, it feels like I'm wearing the sky. I'm very excited about my first dressy dinner with just me and Daddy.
The waiter comes over in a tuxedo, a napkin
waiter
over his
right arm. You know, how long before they get into a restaurant? You know, the waiter where I eat for free.
His right arm. I look at Kaya, who's looking at the menu as if she's intently reading it. The waiter says, What will the young lady be having this evening?
The waiter's mouth drops open when I ask if they serve Whoppers.
He pauses and says, Ma'am, we don't have Whoppers. Kaya cannot believe this. She gives me that what is going on in the world look.
What is going on in the world, Daddy?
How about we do a story where you don't, where you order a Whopper? That'll be funny, won't it?
But Dad, that never happened.
It won't sell unless we have something funny.
Daddy, don't yell at me.
I'm sorry, but you're really pissing me off. Now say you ordered a Whopper.
I ordered a Whopper.
Thank you, Kaya.
The waiter says he will check with the chef, and sure enough,
see,
I have a Whopper.
It works.
The prettiest plate I have ever seen.
There you go. They bring her a Whopper. Go to Burger King.
How much you want to bet? He says he calls a restaurant. It's like, King, I'm coming in with my daughter. I want to keep the entire meal under $20. She only eats Whoppers. So send out and get a Whopper.
Send one of your busboys down to get a Whopper.
And I put on a fancy plate.
And she'll like it that way.
And I'll give you a plug.
They send a busboy out to get two Whoppers and two orders of French fries and put it on a beautiful plate. But that isn't good enough. It has to be served on paper. That is eating out.
Daddy and I have a wonderful time talking and laughing, and I am sad when it is time to leave.
Well, 4:30. Time to go.
Let's see, what time did I pick you up?
12:30? Christ, that's 4 hours I've spent with you.
4:30, we must go.
I drive Kaya home, and that is always the saddest part of the day with a daughter when you don't live with her. I kiss Kaya goodnight and take her up to the door.
Daddy points up at the stars and begins to sing to me.
Someday your mom will be dead up there. That bitch left me when I had hair.
Then he tells me a prince story, and I tell him how I hope to meet a prince just like him.
Oh, no.
I also tell him that I wished upon a star, that I won't be divorced one day.
Well,
he kisses me and says he hopes so, too.
Then I say goodbye to her mother, briefly, just briefly.
It is never, ever easy, and must be very difficult for Kaya. Much more difficult for her, I think, than for her mommy and daddy, because we can go on to other lives.
Then why did you get divorced?
I wave to my daddy with one hand, and the other is in my mommy's hand.
Why did you do it 7 times?
Mommy's squeezing him. Did Daddy hurt you today? What did Daddy do today?
Did Daddy take you to the racetrack?
And longing. I realize that night, before I go to sleep, that I am lucky to have great parents, even if they are apart.
Okay, I know we got to break it. I am lucky to have a great inheritance. For Ted Turner, he pays my dad an exorbitant amount of money.
I make a lot of money.
I remember the day I shared with Daddy, and that memory stays with me always.
I hope Kaya will never have any really sad days, and that in spite of the divorce, she will always know that Daddy's coming.
I know now.
Kaya, hi. Daddy's coming.
The divorce can bring good times as well as bad. And that having two parents who love you, even if
I'm in my special room,
live together is the greatest gift of all.
No, wait, this is only like chapter one, right?
Right.
I mean, we've not even gotten into the good part of this book yet.
This audiobook is dedicated to my parents, who have given me enough love for many lifetimes. I have been blessed to know both of them. They are wonderful people, incredible parents.
All right.
Two of my best friends.
Sure they are.
Divorce is a tragedy for many children, but my mother and father treat each other with respect and spend time with me.
It's the TV star. Hello, bitch. Is the daughter there? Put the child. Listen, you have her dressed up. I'm going to the recording studio today. We're going to do the book on tape.
We're going to do the book on tape. I'll pick her up. I got the deduction.
I don't care. I don't care if she has homework.
Filled with love.
You know who I am? I'm Lay King.
I hope that divorced parents can strive to love their children freely without placing them in the center of emotional issues.
When does Larry speak
again? I also hope that children can understand that they are always loved.
Okay, we got it. We got a break. But I've been told that we're only like 8 minutes into this thing.
Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
And there's still like 9 more chapters. Nine chapters of Larry and Kaya. It's Daddy Day.
Daughter Day.
Daughter Day.
Brother Day. Marty Zager Day.
Breakfast Day.
We will get back to this.
Sandy Koufax Day.
I'm sorry, we got Nancy coming by, right. The hottest woman at CBS Sports. Jim Nance is coming by to pick the pros until they scab and bleed. Please bear with us.
Yes.
We will continue. We will not forget our quest to let you hear every moment of Daddy Day.
Daughter Day.
Daughter Day. We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not to me. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want. Wait, that's what I need.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dale, you gonna get a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
Yeah, how do you do that, man? Take all the pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
No.
What is this?
No.
What are you playing here? What is that? Oh, my God. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know, but whatever it is, it's wrong.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Bear with me. Woo. The CDs are all out of order.
That was nice.
Oh, please. That sucked.
I liked it.
Let me try cut number two.
Ah.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me just see if we can do better than that one.
Hold on. Let's cut number three. No. Love is in the air.
Hey.
Love is in the air. Have you bought your gal a diamond?
Love is in the air.
Ah, this season, make it a diamond.
Oh, this is an awful CD. What happened to the one I wanted to play here?
Yeah, all right. It's going to take a lot of love, baby.
Now, Nick Gilder's the big winner.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636.
Right.
They're ready to believe you.
That's the number you call, let me see, that's a national number, D.C., New York, Seattle, Las Vegas, Portland. Local number 202-432-1067.
Nothing but the Don and Mike Show.
And it's Friday, that means we're ready to pick the pros. Until they scab and bleed. And joining us now, oh, our good friend Nancy from the NFL Today on CBS. And I'm reading that the ratings for the show are up, Jim Nance, are they up 25%? Something
weird. They're up a significant amount. How are you guys?
Hi, Jim.
This number like that. Here
thanks
he is,
for coming
everybody.
On the show again.
Well, it's good to be back with you guys. I was hoping to visit you in the city, but we'll do that at another time. I hear you're back every other week.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Lisa, okay. Lisa tells me the next time we get up, we're going to get your ass in there, and you're going to play some of our reindeer games with us.
All right.
Okay, so it's a date a couple of weeks from now?
Yeah.
Either that or the next time through. We'll figure something out.
Nude bowling is one of our games. hey, listen, Nancy, outside. You guys are still outside every week. How much longer until the weather changes are they going to keep you guys outside?
Well, you know, we stayed out there last year right through the playoffs in January. I mean, it was 10. One day we had a wind chill of minus 10 degrees.
Now, if you took a show of hands, everybody on that show, would you all really, and be honest with me here, would you really want to be outside for the whole season?
Well, I think, you know, you grapple with now, you know, do you want to be on the streets of New York right now?
It's an honest
not
answer.
A weather question. It's,
right. Yeah, I understand.
You know, but I have to say that last year there were the plaza where we reside there on Fifth Avenue was under construction. So it's been all completed, and now this year we're out in the middle of this magnificent stretch of sidewalk in New York, and we've had huge turnouts. I mean, 500 people were there last week, and it's generating, you know, quite a buzz now. I mean, it's gotten to the point where we hoped it would be. You know, people know that on Sundays in New York, they want their football fans, they can come by and kind of experience the show for an hour. So,
and you know, I saw the gigantic up on one of those big buildings. They have the big NFL Today logo. What is the street? Is that the? Do you guys do it out of the same building as the Brian Gumbel show?
Yes, it's right there on
yeah, right there next to FAO Schwartz.
Ah, right between 58th and 59th, across from the Plaza Hotel.
All right, so. Last week, now, is it true that you're the guy, the instigator, you wanted Deion Sanders on your show, right?
Well, wait a minute, where'd you come up with this? Well, I mean, certainly I'm thrilled to have Deion Sanders in the NFL today, but I'm just the guy that sits in there and anchors the show.
I heard that you were a big advocate of having Deion Sanders on the show.
I think that the truth is that anybody would have liked to have had Deion. As a matter of fact, I know that everyone tried to get Deion on their shows.
Jim, don't.
We feel very good about it. He's going to be great at this.
Don't be defensive. Don't be defensive. I think Deion's great on television also. I'm going somewhere with
him. I'm sensitive, I guess, because, there are concerns that maybe it'll impact some people, but, he was a great hire.
See, I was not even going to go there.
We have
you fire Randy Cross Deion Sanders take his place.
Not nice.
No, I know it's not, and I know
not nice at all. Are you all?
And
it
probably is totally wrong. Anyway, so.
Will you all be dressing like Deion Sanders when?
Yeah, we'd like to.
There you go. Absolutely.
Here's what I wanted to ask you: that last week. I had been screaming for 3 weeks, geez, come on, let's retaliate, let's do something.
Right.
And then, of course, they choose to do it right, in the middle of the pregame show and then with the 1 o'clock kickoff. And you guys got preempted by Dan Rather about 12:35. And I know that Deion had a segment that was supposed to run in the last half hour of your show.
Which he was very proud of.
That never got to air.
He had spent the week away from home, spending time at the Tennessee camp and at the Baltimore Ravens camp, and he had a piece on Ray Lewis versus Eddie George, and he spent a lot of time, putting his thoughts into this piece, and it just never, obviously.
Welcome to network television, I guess.
That's right. I mean, he had no problem with that. He completely understood.
All right, so here's what I understand. I understand that you were a big supporter of getting Deion Sanders on the show,
I'm not trying to hide anything. I mean, Deion is a guy that Fox wanted him, ABC wanted him.
Have you ever heard a more insecure broadcaster?
CBS wanted him. I'm thrilled that he's going to be at CBS. He's going to be great. I'm telling you, I've never seen a guy that enters television who wants to try to get a firm grasp of it more than Deion. He's just asking questions. He's hanging around. He's just taking all the information in that he can right now. So I'm very impressed.
Is the only point I was getting to with that the two things that I had heard about you last week, and again, you were for Deion, we know that. And also I heard that when you're coming in the building last week, that you see Dan Rather.
Yeah.
Right? And Dan Rather, like last Sunday morning at 8:30, says to Jim Nance, "Hey, I got a feeling something's up today."
Well, what happened is we start our Sunday mornings before 8 o'clock over at the Broadcast Center. This is not the same location where the show emanates from. And I'm walking out through the lobby at about 8:30, and Dan's coming through the revolving doors. And we visit for a minute, and he says, "Come on back." I'm walking back toward his newsroom. He's thanking me for having come on September the 13th there in prime time when the NFL made the decision to cancel that week's games. I was asked by Rather and his producers to come down to New York and do a little Q&A where Rather interviewed me on the air that night. And he just was thanking me for that.
Been really desperate that night.
And I said, "Well, I've got to ask you the same question. What are you doing in here at 8:30 on a Sunday morning?" And all he said was, "I have a feeling in my bones that today's going to be the day."
Wonder at that high level whether there's any...
Right.
Because obviously Jimmy can't come out to you and say, "Hey, listen, here's exactly what's going to happen." But that was maybe... something he knew in his subtle way of kind of, giving you a heads up because, you never know. I mean, they alert certain media members, don't they?
I think that all the networks probably had been given a heads up that Sunday was a very strong chance.
They were.
So you could either look at this as a compliment that Dan Rather kind of brought you into his confidence, or this could wreck your inner confidence that Dan Rather had this giant secret
and had no intention of telling you
with you. I really would respect it what he said and the way he said it. I just thought it was, I don't think he was trying to send me any kind of cryptic message. It was just, "Hey, I have a feeling in my bones." And, he's not free to go tell people. Of course, I had a subsequent conversation then with our producer and said, "I just had an audience with Dan Rather," and Dan happened to say he had a feeling in his bones that this might be the day.
See, you can't be trusted with another secret now, Jimmy.
Dan didn't say this is a secret. Don't tell anybody. He just said, I have a feeling in my bones it could be the day.
Jim, if you're paranoid like we disc jockeys are, do you ever have the feeling?
I don't know. You guys are sitting in there. Of course, what's happened here in the last half hour is pretty startling, too. I don't know if you guys have heard about this anthrax case in New York.
Yeah, somebody at the NBC building.
Now confirmed, that an NBC person, but it's exposed to the skin, not inhaled, which is fatal. This appears to be something that's treatable. But nonetheless, now we've got an anthrax case in New York.
Yeah, it is a weird world that we are living in right now, and it's who knows if, with the alerts from the FBI yesterday, if this is the kind of thing that they were talking about. I mean, you don't know.
Jim, listen, if anything happens, please throw yourself immediately on Bonnie Bernstein. not only to shield her, but also, it might be your last chance for a little.
We had Bonnie in the studio yesterday, and she is.
What do you mean you had her?
Well, we didn't have her,
means we had her.
Yeah, we all had her. Yeah, we actually did. Yeah. She was looking unbelievable with her American flag T-shirt.
Well, she's a wonderful colleague. And I've got to say this seriously here for a minute, okay? When Dan comes on Sunday at 12:35 and then tells us there are thunderous explosions being heard over Kabul, it was such a chilling moment being out there on the streets of New York with a huge throng gathered there and watching their reaction. And to know that you're 3 miles away from where this all started, it was, it made the rest of the day seem very immaterial. And I understand the games go on and we're there to do our job to report that. But, let's face it, there are times, and I guarantee you don't want to admit it right now, but when you guys aren't on the air, you're back there in the back saying, how the heck do we make this show go?
Yeah.
How do we continue to do Don and Mike like people expect Don and Mike to do?
Yeah, well, no doubt about it. But listen, you guys, you're like we are. I mean, unless the real S is happening, like happened last Sunday, you just go on, you do the show. Because that's one reason I was screaming that I thought during the week that they took off that the NFL should have been on, because I needed the diversion.
Right.
I needed the shows. I needed the games. I needed to know that I was going to have that 12-hour window on Sunday to just watch my game.
Yeah, it would have never worked on that weekend.
I know what Jim was mentioning, though, is in New York, when you see so many of the media outlets and the huge Jumbotron televisions, and you look at that differently, too, when you see everybody just stopping on the sidewalk, and when you just walk by them normally, when tourists are out there watching. And now everybody's just hanging on every word that comes out of the news source.
I'm getting the feeling the same thing that Bonnie Bernstein said yesterday. Here's another guy who thinks that, like, we have real production meetings for this show.
No, absolutely untrue.
Guy doesn't
just
know.
We just
come in and do it.
Right.
Well, all right, so Jim, listen, outside of all of this, outside of the events of September 11th and everything else that's been going on, how are you, Jim? I mean, take the crisis and the terror out of it. How are you, Jim Nance, the man doing? How's your head?
Well, my concern, what's in my head right now is just concerns about my country.
I'm
a huge sports fan, but I've got to tell you, I'm really into, like, world events, always have been, and very much follow them very closely. I follow news a lot more closely than
Jim. How about Jim? Hold on,
I'm consumed with, like, last night, for example, baseball playoffs are on TV. I didn't watch an inning. I'm watching the news. I'm watching what's happening on the various specials on the networks and CNN.
They say too much of that is bad for you.
Right. I always have been that way, though. I mean, I've always been into what are world events, current events.
Jim, you got it. You got to chill, man. Or I'm afraid the next explosion could be between your ears.
I have a passion for news. I have a passion for politics.
Right.
And, I happen to know a lot of people very much that are involved in that world. And, that's part of, I don't want to say it's a hobby following, but it's something I do very, very closely.
All right,
a guy that sits around in a sports bar watching games every night.
We've always just been concerned about you. You're kind of high-strung. You're like a high-strung poodle.
Yeah.
And we just want you to chill out and enjoy life as much as possible. Enjoy the fact that the ratings for the NFL today on CBS are
ready to go.
Way, way, way up. Smart move.
That's good news. But again, everything has to be put in perspective.
Well, see, let me tell you the difference apparently between you, a professional, and non-professional such as Mike and myself.
Mm-hmm.
We just got our New York ratings today,
right?
And they were up, and our joy was not tempered.
No, yeah, we're
at all by the tragedy that we are surrounded by.
Well, I think that speaks to our total insensitivity.
It does.
Yeah, we are still able to immerse ourselves in the cocoon that is.
You're out celebrating, feeling awful good about yourself.
Well, let me tell you something, Jim. No matter what happens in the world, it all comes down to one thing that Don and I live by. It's really all about us.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, well, let's listen. Let's pick them.
Let's get the laugh.
With Jim Nance.
Damn right it is.
And joining us here is, of course, America's guest from USA Today, Rupert Marski. Rupert!
How you doing?
Oh, no.
Come on, get on the phone.
Rudy, for God's sake, it's the worst phone every week.
Where are you from now, Rudy?
Florida, can you hear me better now?
It sounds like you're in Kabul. Come on, call back. You know, Buzz, you'll play the role of Rudy this week.
Oh, lucky you.
Come on. We got five big games we're going to pick.
Maybe that wasn't a cell phone. Maybe he's just got a cold or something.
No, he's down in Fort Lauderdale at another golf tournament.
Uh-huh.
You know, the guy, every week, we want to have the guy on the show, and every week,
he's at some golf tournament with a horrible cell phone.
All right.
Well, that was really rough. That was like sandpaper sounding.
Yeah, that's like normal for Rudy.
All right, here we go. We're going to pick him till they scab and bleed. The order will be Don, Mike, Buzz as Rudy, and then...
Again, what are we doing? Are we just to pick games?
No,
my interest?
No, Jim, here you go. How about this? We'll bet... For the Red Cross, for all the fire guys and the rescue workers.
The American Red Cross, that's fine.
We'll play for the Red Cross, and how about, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, we only got 4 games this week we're picking. You want to go $100 a game?
Whatever you guys want, you know.
Let's go $100 a game.
How many people do this? Because we have done this on-the-air gambling here a few times, and we both have written our checks.
We have 4 games.
Okay. All of us have.
Yes.
You know?
Okay, hold on. We got
always
Rudy.
For charity.
We got Rudy back on the line. Let's see if it's a better line. Hey, Rudy.
I guess this is better. Lisa says it's better.
Yeah, it's far better.
Now, listen, Rudy, you got to know that we're betting again this week, but we're betting for charity again. We're going to bet for the Red Cross. So we're betting $100 a game, 4 games. So if you lose, you really, Rudy, no kidding, you got to write a check to the Red Cross.
Do it.
We know this when we've made charity bets with Jim that we've sent our checks to him and we've received the checks from Jim to our charity.
Jim pays very promptly.
I express mail him.
You do? Okay. Here's the first game. So the order is Don, Mike, Rudy, and then Nancy.
Well, you haven't explained the rules here, guys. Exactly. Now, what do you mean? The guy that comes in last, how does this work?
Why don't we do it that way? The guy that comes in last, $400 check goes to the Red Cross.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
And, of course, Nancy's the only one, Jim Nance, the only one allowed to tell us why he's picking a particular game.
Do I need to do a recap of how we stand in our little competition on Sunday during one of the halftimes?
That'd be a wonderful thing.
Put a little graphic up there. Jim.
See, here's the thing. You're a tease, Jim.
When he teases us, when he plays with us like we're a ball of yarn.
The thing is, what you don't know, TV boy, is I've got the satellite, okay?
Yeah, but what you failed to refresh your audience's memory here. Is that I actually mentioned you guys on one of these deals.
Thanksgiving, I believe it was.
Yes, you did.
It was one of our biggest audiences.
One time, but don't tease me and say you're going to say something.
No, I asked, should I? I was
most definitely.
Suggesting it, I don't know.
Yes, you should, because I will be like a mental patient going through the half times of each of the games, right, waiting to see
them. I haven't said I'm going to do it. I haven't signed off. I was asking.
Well, Jim, I think if you're going to do it, you should do it in pregame. Absolutely.
Well, we don't have the games that have been played yet.
Hold on. If you got the sports section, I'm going to, I'll tell you what game, the dog game of the week, because everybody's got a dog game.
Oh, the dog game of the week, the dog game of the year is the Monday night game.
Yeah, but that's not a CBS game.
Actually, it's pretty interesting because it's you know, the history there and the fact that they're both winless is just
hard. Talking about the Sunday dog game here, you're picking
another one. You got the Ravens, just the CBS, I'm looking at just the CBS games. The Ravens-Packers game, that's a killer game.
That's a great game. We ought to pick that one because Green Bay is actually a small favorite.
I'm just picking the game that you should announce this at. Let me see. Cincinnati-Cleveland and Denver-Seattle. Dolphins-Jets, huge game.
I think you ought to go. Here you go.
Pittsburgh-Kansas City.
You got to pick Baltimore at Green Bay. You got to pick San Diego at New England. Miami at the Jets. I think those are three good games. You can take an NFC game out of there if you want.
All right, so hold on. If those are the games you want us to bet on this week, and I'll pick a game, then you got to mention something about us at halftime in one of the games.
Now, wait a minute. Do you know how much time we have at halftime, especially since Hughes is taking most of her time away from us?
All right, pregame.
All right, all you got to do is just say, when you're doing a score update, how about this? Even if you're doing, like, an update, in Green Bay, you go, Matt and Dick, whoever it is, Green Bay has just scored, like Don and Mike said they would. Back to you. All right, so here are the four games that we'll pick.
Okay.
Here's the first game. Baltimore Ravens at the Green Bay Packers.
I will take Green Bay. I will take the Baltimore Ravens.
Rudy.
I'll take Green Bay.
And Nancy, who you like?
Well, I suggest some of you guys get your pens out and start writing a check, because it's going to be Baltimore. And Brian Billick will just have a absolute high time with the fact that his team's not a big favorite in the game. And this team's really showing signs last week that they're dominating. They're as nasty as they were a year ago. And I expect the Ravens will win by a good 10 points.
All right, Denver Broncos at Seattle Seahawks. Mark my words, upset special.
It could be.
Take Seattle because they're playing Dilfer.
I am with you. I think Seattle's going to win the game.
Rudy.
I'm going those Denver Broncos. I like Greasy.
All right, Nancy.
I'm going Denver here, guys. So, you radio guys, you know, you think you know something about it. We're going Broncos. I still think Broncos will be in the AFC championship game this year against Baltimore.
All right, a late 4:15 game, Miami Dolphins at the Jets. Ah, that's a tough one. Christ, it's at the Meadowlands. I'll take the Jets.
I think you got to go with the Jets. I mean, the Yankees aren't doing anything. The Jets got to pick up the slack.
No, hold on, I changed mine. I'm going to take Miami.
All right, I like the New York Jets.
I like Don's pick, Miami.
I'm going Miami.
All right.
I'm going Dolphins. I think Wonstead's doing a terrific job. Good unity on this team. They all believe. They're all listening to the coach. Playing well. Lamar Smith will be over 100 again. And, you know, I have a real problem with some of the ways that the Jets are conducting themselves. And last week, they're up 42-29 on Buffalo. With 4 minutes to go, they recover an onside kick. So now just run a couple of plays. Let's get out of here. Paul Hackett, their offensive coordinator, calls three straight pass plays. Three plays and a punt. It's back in Buffalo's hands. What are we doing here? I'm going Miami.
All right, and the final game, I'll take a Fox game. This is a good game. Tampa Bay at Tennessee. You got to think, Tennessee, goddamn, they're 0-3.
Did you say that?
Say what? Goddamn? Yes. I'll take Tampa Bay to make them go 0-4.
I'm with you on that one. I am with you, Tampa Bay.
Oh, come on.
I am with you on that one.
Rudy.
Oh, wait. Thanks. Jim skipped ahead of me there. I'll take Tampa Bay because Tennessee's got nothing.
Way to focus, Rudy.
Jim didn't skip ahead of you. He was simply commenting on me taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, that's not good.
Okay.
That's not good.
Jimmy, who do you like?
I'm going Tennessee.
Tennessee, why?
Well, first off, the absolute desperation situation here, but not like Tampa Bay's really impressing anybody these days. They've got no offense either. Tennessee will win the game and probably run off a nice little win streak here 4 or 5 games in a row.
All right, well, there you go. That's
I'm way out on a limb on all of these, but I mean, I really feel good about what we're doing here. When do I get the update? See, like how we finish in this.
Call Monday, Jim, or let us get a hold of you on Monday, and we'll find out who owes $400 to the Red Cross. Okay.
How did it become $400? Oh, because $100 a man.
$100 a man, $100 a game.
Loser has to pay $400 to the Red Cross, whoever has the worst record.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy.
Oh, that's going to be like whoever lost. It was $100 a loss, no?
No. It's all or nothing, Rudy.
Okay.
Rudy, it's $100 a man, so you'd pay $300, but make it $400 because it's going for a good cause.
$400. The loser pays $400.
All right, Jimmy, good luck this weekend. Hope
and we'll see you in New York.
Yes, in a couple of weeks you come by the studio.
Okay, or 4 weeks, 2 weeks or 4 weeks.
Whenever. Just come up. We got to see your face in person.
Yeah, and, well, you know, invitation goes both ways, guys.
All right, we'd love to be on the show.
All right, we will talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, there she is.
He knows us well now.
There she is, Nancy.
He knows us well when he, you know, when he says, yeah, okay, yeah. See you on the NFL show.
A little wound up.
Yes, very much so.
With the war and everything.
And then Rudy never wound up.
Hey, Rudy.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Is it okay to talk now?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, he's off. I mean, she's off the line now. What? Hey, Rudy, what do you got for us at Nuggets? Something we would not have known if we were not talking to you, the guru of TV sports.
Well, how about this, guys? Mark McGuire, watch him closely in these National League playoffs, because look for him after it's over to announce his retirement. He's just had it with his injuries. He can't play like he did. And the team's going to have to talk him out of it, but he wants to retire.
What a pussy he is. I just want to say this about Mark McGuire, that in the middle of the season when he was striking out a lot, he says, I think I'm going to quit. Right. Then he has a streak of about a month when he hits about 10 home runs.
Hitting lots of taters.
And then he says, me feel good.
Right.
Me love baseball. Then he strikes out. And now again, it's like, I think I'm going to quit.
I know. I think Rudy's right, though. I think he's done after this season.
Big pussy.
Well, I have enough people telling me this. Now, he'll probably do it. And then you got to see if by spring training rolls around, if they've talked him back into playing. But he'll want to quit.
You bring him here, I'll kick his ass. Yeah. I'll kick his steroid-ridden ass.
You against Mark McGuire in a fight.
Yeah, wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, my God. They'd be scraping your nipples off the seats.
Wouldn't that be funny? All right, Rudy, we'll see you next week.
Okay, I got to go with a tin cup on a street now to try to get $400.
Okay, yeah, right.
All right, yeah. Good luck. Yeah, goodbye, Rudy.
Okay.
Goodbye. Get out of here.
Okay, goodbye.
There you go, the dynamic duo.
Wow.
Rudy Martsky from USA Today and the very hyper, yeah, like a hyper poodle.
Where does Rudy find his cell phones? That's what I want to know.
Jim Nance from CBS Sports. All right, well, there's the pick the pros. One good thing about Nance is he always likes betting for money.
Mm-hmm. And he pays. He does pay. Yeah. We have evidence of that.
The bad thing is it's always for charity.
Right.
It's never like we can just take the guy's money.
I know. What a bastard.
But it's fun. It's fun picking the games for money, though.
It is indeed. Absolutely. Is.
Okay, there you go. There's Jim. There's Rudy. We got a break. Oh, a Friday favorite is still to come. And, hey, kids, we've not yet given away our trip for two to Iceland.
Ooh.
We're giving one away today, courtesy of Iceland Air. Everybody go to IcelandAir.com. Stay tuned. That's coming right up, too. That's coming right up. There you go.
In fact, before I do this, I just want to leave a message for Don Geronimo. Donnie, you and I are good friends. We'll always be good friends. But Don, kiss my ass. Just kiss it.
They crave lovely Oreos. Don and Mike.
God damn it.
Hey, Don.
Yeah,
please,
Jim.
Don't say that.
I understand you've never said that, Jim. Man.
Never in my life, Don. I haven't, and you don't plan on it. We'll see you up here in New York, though.
In my group. We're just out at Cancer Corner, having a smoke out front of the station.
Right.
And we're just laughing about Dan Rather talking to Jim Nance.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, Dan. Yeah, thanks a lot. Listen, I got a hunch something's going down. Thank you. Thank you. God bless. God bless. Goodbye.
And then they both just cry. All the others are ours.
Goodbye, Dan. Goodbye, Jim. Anchors!
And the night when they have Nance on, it's like in the control room, they're going, Dan Rather? Dan, can you hear me, Dan?
Yes.
We have bad news. Colin Powell has just backed out.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid that Ashcroft is unavailable. The satellite has just fallen apart.
Well, who are we going to get then?
Well, are you familiar with the NFL on CBS?
Yes, I am.
Jim Nance is in the building.
No. No, please. No, anyone else. Can we get Cokie Roberts? Oh, she's on the other network.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be Jim or Randy Cross.
Give me Nance.
Nance.
Yeah, no problem at all. Like, we can't get Dion?
So, yes, the mask goes down. Yeah, what's his problem with that, too?
Don, I have nothing to do with that. I don't know where you're going with that, but...
Critics said some very unkind things about Dion's first appearance, and I think that's why Jim was so defensive.
Well, gosh darn it, Buzz. I you know, people can criticize anything.
Yes, God, they can.
We had a good 20, 30 people there last week.
God damn it.
Fantastic.
Okay, let's get to a Friday favorite. Yeah. Here we go.
It's game time now on JFK.
Jeff Hardy. Now, before I open the door, I normally love introducing our guest. I have a tape that's going to introduce our guest. Let me say that that with the war effort going on, the USO, this is not a bit, this is true, the USO has asked our next guest to perform for the troops. Rather than have me introduce him, I'd like to ask him to come in and listen to the introduction by his friend Jerry Lewis. Hey.
How are you?
A gentleman who has helped me on this show.
Yes.
More years than I can remember. But I asked him this day to please open the show for me and give me some of that marvelous glitz that he's known for.
Marvelous.
And the showmanship that's made him a legend in his own time.
That's marvelous.
And I said, please come and finish it for me.
I'll come.
And he has agreed to do that.
Yes, sir.
And you are lucky that he's here. Mr. Wayne Newton, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's right.
Da-da-da. All right, Daddy. Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you so much, Jesus.
Can you imagine anything worse for the morale of our troops over in Afghanistan?
The Jerry Lewis?
No, than you.
Oh, slow down. Okay, you're kidding. You're kidding. I thought that's good.
Did we send Wayne Newton over there to Afghanistan for our guys?
I feel it's, you know, let me just, Mr. Hope, you know, was the guy that took care of our troops for such a long time, and I just want to say that I'm so happy that I can get together for my regular show. At the Suns, and visit with our troops, because in this time of need, it's very good for all the performers to get together, you know what I mean?
But
Wayne Newton.
Daddy, don't you hurt the face. Outside of anyone who maybe saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I was good in that.
Well, they sang your song in that.
Well, I sang it, Donkey Shine.
Yeah, but who the hell would even know who
Donkey Shine?
Who knows who he is?
Darling, Donkey Shine. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. So good to be with Don and Mike, all the crew, and the whole show. It's, you guys do a fantastic job. And, you know, I've just flown from Vegas, and it's okay to fly. I just want to tell everybody that it's okay to fly, because we can't be scared in this time of woe.
Whoa.
I think it's real important that everybody, you know, in this time of need, I said, Mr. President, I am Wayne Newton, and I will do my level best to help this country in its time of need. And if you want me to hop on a plane and fly over there to Pakistan or Afghanistan, I'll be there to entertain the troops for you, because, you know, everybody likes a good show to take their minds off their troubles.
What the hell are you going to do for our fighting men and women?
I'm going to do my stage show. What I'm going to do, I could walk you through it.
Please do.
We've got a temporary stage set up that we'll have at the different bases around the world. And then I will come out, and I will be in my spacesuit that I show up. And we have smoke machines on either side of the stage, and then the smoke machines will shoot the smoke out. And I will appear in my spacesuit, and we'll be playing the 2001 theme. And then I lift up the helmet, and it reveals me with my perfect jet black hair that I dyed freshly this morning.
And then 2,000 troops in unison will say, oh, who the F is this?
No, they'll say, hey, there's a great entertainer. You know, one of the things I'm known as is Mr. Las Vegas. So you aware of that fact? You know? Oh, yes. This is a good song. It's got that great piano. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks all for coming. God bless America. God bless you and every one of yours. I love this song. It means a lot to me. Love between the two of us is a good love.
And it got so bad
because my daddy. I said, daddy, here's the hook.
Wayne Newton,
listen to me, tell you right now. I said, daddy, don't you look silly. Daddy, hold on.
Daddy,
slow down. please. Oh, I'm begging you, please. Or whatever it is.
Daddy, don't you?
And then what I'll do is I will play. Let me just say the. Can I tell you something, Don?
Yeah.
These are the instruments I want to play on the Wayne Newton Show. Mm. Trumpet, guitar, drums, and I'll also play the fiddle. That's how multi. I'm a triple threat. I'm a quadruple threat. I'm a quadroon. It's fantastic. I'm excited about this. It's going to work. And, you know, there might be some of the younger fellas and ladies and gentlemen that are in the service of America that might not know who Wayne Newton is.
I think all of them don't know who you are. Not even the four-star generals know who you are.
I'm just saying the words of former Secretary James Watt. I am a multi-dimensional performer, and I just I think it's such a great honor and a great thrill to be able to perform for the troops. And you know, just thank you, all very much. Thanks so much. It's a great honor to our country. And I'll be appearing with Beverly D'Angelo with lovely breasts. You know, in those fabulous vacation movies. I remember Vacation in Vegas. You know, I was a big part of that film. And if you can't poke fun at yourself, ladies and gentlemen, who can you poke fun at? And that's the way. That's been my credo, and it's also gotten me several roles because I can't get serious roles in films.
Serious question. You're going to have to go to Pakistan, Afghanistan.
I've already had my shots, as a matter of fact.
That's what I want to know. What kind of medical procedure do you have to go through?
Earlier today, I visited my my doctor, who said to me, what?
You started to say gyna.
I was a slip of the tongue. I was.
What words start with gyna? Gyna. Well, there's Guinan from Star Trek, The Next
Generation.
That's
a good show. I like sci-fi. I like the sci-fi. No, I was saying doctor. It's my doctor happens to be a gynecologist. It's a gynecologist, okay?
A that's a gynecologist.
Wow. Yeah.
Why would you go to a gynecologist?
Listen, I don't want to sit here and dwell on doctors and all that kind of crap because it's not what I'm about. I'm about show business and entertaining people, and the fact is... you know, sexuality and who you go see for your doctor's problems or some of your troubles, you know, that you have medically.
Newton, why would you go to a gynecologist?
Yeah. Well, because I'm a woman.
Really?
Yeah, I am. Anybody that saw my earlier career will know that I looked a little like a fat girl. And the fact is, I decided that I would dye my hair jet black, paint on a pencil-thin mustache, and I'd cover up the fact that I do have a vagina.
Oh, yeah, listen to the voice here.
All right, turn it up, yeah. That's right, I do not have a...
So you're using a man voice now?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I could show you that I don't have male sexual organs.
I don't... What,
have you ever watched me in my tight tuxedo pants?
Yeah?
The fact is, they have nothing to show. I don't have any junk.
So you mean...
I possess no junk, Wayne.
This singing here. Right here, this... And your speaking voice, you sound like...
Daddy, slow down some. I know I'm not the boy you wanted to have. That was the original lyric.
No.
Unfortunately, we had to change that lyric, but...
do you take steroids, or do
I
you...
take I tan regularly just to maintain my youthful complexion, and I've tried to keep this secret for years, but you know, in this day of openness and honesty in the media, I think it's important for everyone to know that what does it matter what sex you are as long as you can bring people entertainment. I know some of the great entertainers of all time, it doesn't matter what sex they are, and the fact that I have a mustache and jet black hair and that the ladies love me, they're probably in their own little subconscious way exploring their lesbian tendencies, because I am a woman.
So
I am in fact a woman, and I think it's on this show, in this fine city, that I will announce that to the world right here. What better place in the nation's capital to tell everyone that I am indeed a woman?
You know, we broadcast live now to Las Vegas. It's not tape delay anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, and I wanted to keep that a secret from my Las Vegas audiences. I'll tell them also, okay, it's time to be honest. It's time to let the world know, yes, indeed, I do not possess a penis.
So when you...
I don't, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to make that part of the act, too. I'm going to do that for the troops. Maybe it'll get a laugh. Maybe it'll get a tear.
But I want to know, when you go to Afghanistan, to Pakistan...
Yeah, that's right.
Will you be going as Wayne Newton man or as Wayne Newton woman?
I'm so glad, Don. I'm so, so glad you brought that up because it's so important for everyone to know that I'm changing my act right now.
You are.
Half of my act will be Wayne Newton. Half of my act will be Juice Newton. I've gotten the copyright to her name, and I am going to use that. I will come out with long, straight blonde hair, down to my ass, and I will sing all of my favorite womanly songs. I will do a wonderful version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which is my kind of version. I've got a full 18-piece orchestra that's going to be backing me up on that. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And I just want to do another song. I'm going to be doing a tribute to Helen Reddy. It's going to be the second half of my show, but you'll get the same Wayne that you love in the first half. Well, I'll be wearing my tuxedo, and I'll be coming out and playing my fiddle. But the second half, I will come back as a total different incarnation, Wayne Juice Newton. Juice Newton will be performing for those troops. And I'll tell you, I make a beautiful lady.
Now, Juice Newton, she was some half-assed country singer, right?
That's true, but mm-hmm. she held on to her name with... It took me a lot of dollars. I had to sell a couple of my Appaloosa Stallions to get the rights to that name, and Juice Newton will be performing. Because, you know, I'm not name recognition as far as the troops are concerned, so they don't know who I am. So it's important for me to come out today and say to all the troops that I have a novelty act right now. I'm a man, I'm a woman. Who am I? Yes, sirree. So, Wayne and Juice together for the first time on the big stage.
So in reality, the news today on the Don and Mike show is not the fact that Wayne Newton's going to the USO. It's the fact that Wayne Newton has no fig Newton.
I have no Newtons whatsoever. I have no junk. Down there is smooth. There's no hair either. I'm completely smooth, and it's not by choice. It happened to be that way. You know, constant costume changes and rubbing up against, it's very difficult for me to do that. But I think I'll be accepted because in this climate of, you know, fear that we all live in right now, we want to get entertainers that are going to give and deliver and provide those wonderful songs.
Let me see if I got this straight. In the first half... We're going to get this, right?
Yeah, this is going to be me. I'm going to be doing this with a smoke machine after I get out of my spacesuit in tuxedo. Then I will take off the tie. You know, I'll have my big vest.
Yeah.
And I still have a huge pendulated stomach.
You do.
Yeah.
So that's the first half.
Two of us. Oh, I love this song. It makes me happy.
And then you go to the second half.
Right. Yeah, I will be playing with the Queen of Hearts. And she's given me all the rights to all her music. And I actually sound exactly like this. This is not her. This is me. Listen.
Wayne Newton.
It's just a little higher. Waiting on the 12:05. Juice Newton. Hoping it'll take me just a little farther down the line. Yeah, it's my country thing that I'm going to be doing. I'll be wearing cowboy boots. I'll be wearing a fringe miniskirt made out of leather. I'll be wearing a vest and a lovely brassiere.
You know what we want to do?
I have D-cups.
Wow. Let's try something here, Wayne.
Playing with the Queen of Hearts.
We do have a copy of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Do you want to give that one a try?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, now.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to say hi to the troops. Good to see each and every one of you. Wonderful. Very nice. I've lost my fig Newtons. I'm no longer Wayne Newton. I'm Juice Newton. And this song is called Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I do the chorus a lot better.
Oh, you want to do the chorus?
Girls just want to have fun.
Here we go, right here, Andy.
Girls just want to have fun. Yes, they do. Yes, they really do. Girls just want to have fun. Yeah. Everybody, clap with me. All right, take your soldiers' hats off.
Come on.
Yes, sirree. I'd like to thank the USO and Bob Hope. A phone rings. Night. I'm going to be doing several other fantastic hits, too. All your favorite female hits. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. I'll be doing that in the second act.
Do that one?
Yes. I will always love you. And You Are the Female Wind Beneath My Wings. I'll be doing that, a tribute to Bette Midler. It's going to be a wonderful show.
So, are you a homo?
No. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm a woman who loves men. I know it's an enigma for you. Wayne Newton is my stage persona. When I'm relaxing around the in the house, my wonderful, beautiful mansion that I have in Vegas.
Then you're Juice Newton?
I'm not Juice Newton. That's another stage name. I'm simply Lane Newton.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
I know it's confusing, but this is all coming very fast and furious to your listening audience. And I just want to tell everybody right now, when I'm relaxing at home, I sit around in a house coat, and I enjoy being a woman. I like pretty things. I like wearing underwear. It's fit for a woman. But when it's time to get on stage, that's when I really tweak it up, and I adopt my fake persona of Wayne Newton that is scam people for years, and then my new woman persona, which is Juice Newton, when I sing for everybody, including those fantastic troops. I'll be flying in a C-130 with an 18-piece orchestra, ladies and gentlemen.
When you're at home, you're Lane Newton.
I'm Lane Newton, just relaxing around the pool. I actually like to ride my stallions that I have in the backyard. I've got some beautiful Arabian stallions that might be controversial in this day and age, but I'll tell you, they're beautiful horses, and I like to hop on the back totally naked, completely naked, riding around my stables.
Who's the last man you had sex with?
I'm not sure that I should share that. You know.
Oh, yeah, what was it, Siegfried or Roy?
No, it was Paul Anka.
Paul Anka
and I had a wonderful, wonderful. He was one of the early guys. You know, he's another Mr. Vegas. He performs out there all the time. All the regular performers in Vegas I've had as a woman, and they kept my secret. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to them for sharing that secret with me for all those years. I want to thank Paul Anka, Buddy Hackett.
You ever have sex with
Chevy Green?
Dick Van Patten?
Dick Van Patten, how did you know that?
How about Frank Gorshin?
Not Frank Gorshin. No, Frank Gorshin thought I was some sort of creature. He thought I was disgusting. He looked at me one time, he said, "You disgust me." And I just said, "I love you. And I love everybody. Especially this great country of ours. The United States of America."
Can you believe this? What a half-assed idea. We're not making this up. We're sending Wayne Newton for our fighting guys in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
And Juice Newton.
Can you imagine
the two of us?
You're busting your ass. You're fighting the terrorists.
Yes.
You got the chance of life and death at any moment. And this is what we give you for entertainment?
Oh. It's going to be fantastic when I break into my Juice Newton segment. Because I'll tell you right now, when they hear me sing Queen of Hearts, just like Juice does.
Yeah.
And this is a song, remember, she didn't record it. I did.
Midnight.
Don't I sound good?
And I'm waiting on the 12:05.
Oh, look at me play with my nipples. Is that cleavage or what? See, I can tweak it up right now.
There you can.
Of course, I got to wear my orange tie, my orange shirt, my matching orange tuxedo when I'm doing these radio tours. But if I take off this tie, I'm going to show you something special here.
What's that? What do you got?
Taking off my tie, I'm buttoning the first three buttons. Now, take a look at that. Does that look like a man's breast?
Oh, it does.
That is a 100% female breast right there.
Beautiful breast.
Anybody that remembers me on the Lucille Ball Show will know that when I was wearing those overalls, I was really a woman.
That's weird.
They'll know that. They'll know these things. It's absolutely true. And all that stuff about being part Native American, it's all bull.
You're a woman.
I'm Swedish.
Swedish.
Yes, I am. They're the ones that taught me, my Swedish parents. They taught me the benefits of bisexuality.
Inga,
when I talk about bisexuality, I'm not talking about going both ways. I'm talking to be both a man and a woman.
Yes, but when it comes to sex, you like the sausage.
Well, I can't do it any other way, my friend. I'll show you. You haven't believed me, so I'm going to just show you right now.
Oh, no.
I'm
going to
take off these stretch tuxedo pants. Let me just unwrap the gauze.
No!
I'll show you right now.
No!
Let me pull out the banana and the two golf balls.
Are they going to delete that out?
Oh, no, you don't delete that somebody likes my vagina. I think my vagina is so fine. That's right. Hello, troops. This is Wayne Juice Newton telling each and every one of you that loves androgyny that I just got a haircut today, and I'm going to show each and every one of you as I hike up my leather skirt and sing a tribute to Cyndi Lauper. I move better as Juice than I do as Wayne.
I don't
have to do all those phony little snapping motions that you do when you're a man. I can freeform dance. I can do a little ballet tribute, too. There's part of the show where I come out in a tutu. Daddy, don't you walk so fast. But that still means a lot to me. When I was talking about my Swedish androgynous father. Daddy, don't you walk so fast.
Have you ever heard anything more effed up than we
are? Rest is mommy.
We are sending Wayne Newton.
And I'm hoping to be back on the mall the 4th of July for the 4th of July tribute to America's men and, more importantly, their women.
All right, listen, Wayne, we're going to play Jeopardy here if you want to.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Stick around. We'll take the first two calls, okay?
This is a fantastic show. You really have a great show. You're doing such good service to our country.
877-365-3636.
I enjoy Daddy Day, Daughter Day by Larry King. You guys should cut up. You're crazy.
You have a cooter.
I'm a daddy day and a daughter day. I'm a walking daddy daughter day.
Two calls, right? Or why we got a champion? I don't know. Call 877-365-3636.
Thanks so much, Don.
You're welcome, Wayne. Juice?
Call me Juice. Hey, I'm still sitting out here without my pants.
Juice.
Like my tan?
And it's an all-over tan.
It's an all-over tan, absolutely. From the top of my big jet black hair to my vagina.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Ready to believe? The critics love Snatch.
I can't say.
Well, you call the local lines, too, at 202-432-1067.
Based on love, mutual love, and love of others. The Don and Mike Show.
It's a new one, isn't it? Yeah. This is good. I like this. Who's the youngster that did this?
This is Nick Lowe. So
I like this.
Oh, he's like 15 or 20 years old.
Oh, that's a new one. It's got some nice catch sketch to it. It really does. I think it's fantastic. You guys are really rocking.
Hey, listen, Wayne.
Yes, Don.
Before we play in Jeopardy.
Yes.
Is this you? Tell me, we're going through our old records. Is this you?
Rock it around the Christmas tree.
At the Christmas party.
I dubbed it over for Brenda Lee.
Oh.
I did a good job with that. How did you guys know? You guys have good ears.
This is a girl who sings. Listen to this girl sing. Listen to this. Rock it around the Christmas tree. Now, does she have a penis?
She's got no penis. She's all girl, but she couldn't sing like I could. She couldn't get the higher notes. So I was brought in to do that. No, she doesn't have a big penis, yes, Rob. How you doing, Robbie?
I was thinking of you.
Thanks for coming out last year.
If you sing like that and you have no penis,
yes.
If this girl...
That's me.
Sings like that. No, that's Brenda Lee.
That is allegedly Brenda Lee. I actually dubbed it over for her in the studio. I did some studio work for her, Don, as between my shows at the Sands.
I cannot believe. I still find it hard to believe that of all the entertainers in the world, I mean, couldn't they send O-Town over to entertain our troops?
Anybody.
Hey, Christine Aguilera, anybody. They had to.
Hey, slow down a second. Have you been to a Wayne Newton show?
No.
Have you been to a show?
I never have.
Well, when you come to my show, I know you might think it's jive and it's kind of showbiz cliche, but I'll tell you right now, it's a fantastic show and I think you'll enjoy it. And when you come back, we can maybe take a bath. How'd you like that?
All right, Wayne, let's play Juice?
Yeah, Juice.
Wayne?
Lane,
let's play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks so much.
That's a tape.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now in the studio is our challenger. This is a gentleman. He's a golf equipment salesman. He's from Manassas, Virginia. Let's say hi to Tim Girard.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Tim, are you there, my friend?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much, and thanks for all the good work you're doing in the golf equipment business.
Yeah, thank you.
Now entering the studio is our returning challenger. No, he's champion, I guess, if he's returning. This fellow's an attorney. Slow down. I've been sued by many people. He's from Clinton, New Jersey. Let's say hi to the lovely Pat Heller.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, how's it going?
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Hey, Tim and Pat, please don't screw with OQ, and please make welcome the lovely Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Jane Newton.
Just call me girl. Thanks, girlfriend.
Hello, Tim. Hello, Pat. Guys, listen, don't forget to answer in the form of a question. Little my mom. Wearing clip-on ties. Suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex. That's to play the game. It's LQ. LQ. Quizmaster.
Oh.
It always was. What, Wayne?
Feminine itching.
Always damn. Call him.
I get that bad.
Her, it, Wayne, Lane, Juice.
I know, for the people that can't wrap their minds around it. How about just Wayne Newton today, okay?
Wayne Newton.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Wayne Newton.
Thank you.
Wayne Newton going to
see the troops over to Afghanistan.
Afghanistan.
And Pakistan.
And Pakistan.
And Kuzikstan or whatever that, all the stands over there. Stan the fan. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here are your categories.
All right.
And they are, name that Major League Baseball playoff manager.
I'm lost in that category. I don't follow sports.
Oh, because you're a girl.
Because I'm a girl.
Celebrity news.
I know celebrities. I hobnob.
This week on the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I haven't been in the city. I haven't paid attention. You're on in Vegas?
Yeah.
Good for you.
New on home video DVD.
I've got so many of those. I've got so many videos, DVDs, of myself.
And states and capitals.
Good, that's very patriotic in this time of need.
Here you go, guys. They are. Name that baseball playoff manager.
Thank you.
Celebrity news. This week on the Don and Mike Show.
That's good. What's been on the Don and Mike Show this week, friends?
DVD.
Good.
States and Capitals.
Good
and
job, Donnie. Good job.
Kim, you are the challenger. We'll start with you.
All right, Alex, let's try Major League Manager.
All right, beautiful.
Good luck, boys.
For one, he is manager of the... the 0-2 New York Yankees.
Who is Joe Torre?
Right.
$1. Way to go, Tim. You're on the board. That's a good job. You're doing a great job. But go ahead, my friend.
Let's have managers for two.
Hey, I notice you keep digging at whatever it is you're digging at. You want a pencil or something?
There's nothing. A pencil won't help this. Lotrimin will help this. I have a yeast infection. I have a serious yeast infection.
For two, he is the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm making yeast rolls.
Who is Lou Piniella?
No, that's sorry, you should have had that one.
Pat, your chance to steal, my friend.
Thank you. What is Tony? Who is Tony La Russa?
All right, yeah. Tony La Russa.
I don't know any of these names. $2 for you, Patrick.
Let's finish up the category for three, please.
Seattle Mariners.
Who is Lou Piniella?
Right. Yeah, okay, you lucked into that one.
$3 for you, Pat. You're doing a great, great job.
Let me guess, Wayne. Are you a big fan of the WNBA?
I love that. I think those ladies play some great, great ball. I'm a tall drink of water myself. I could shoot some hoops. I used to play on my girls' basketball team when I was laying nude. I was a setter. I was fantastic. I had big, big arms.
You have the mustache then?
I'd bleach it.
You'd bleach it?
Yeah, now I darken it. How far we come, eh? Thank you.
Pat, or Tim, who's in control here, Lane?
Pat.
Pat, go again, please.
I also played field hockey.
Saints and Capitals for one.
Very good.
It is the capital of the great state of Massachusetts.
What is Boston?
Right.
That's a great state. Boston Tea Party. Yes, sirree. Fantastic. That's when they all dressed as Indians.
I'll take the...
I dressed as an Indian one time. And Cherokee people.
For two, it is the capital of the great state of New York.
What is Albany?
Albany.
Yes, great state, great city. Great city.
Let's go for three, please.
It's the capital of Florida.
What is Tallahassee?
Tallahassee is right.
$3, Pat. You're really blazing a trail like the Indians blazed a trail through the woods.
I thought you were...
Fleeing from the settlers. What?
I thought you were Native American. You lied about that.
Thank you.
This week on the Don and Mike Show for one.
Okay, here we go. Hope you've been listening to the show. Oh, this is an easy one. He was our guest yesterday. Famous wrestler.
Who is Mankind?
Mankind, yes.
$1, Mankind. Let's go out for ice cream.
Mick Foley.
All right, good job.
For two, please.
The area of New York that we bowled in.
Queens? What is Queens?
Queens, yeah.
$2 right. For you. Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? Hold on.
I'm sorry, I just let down.
Wait,
I let down. I need a new blouse. Please, someone get me a new silk blouse. This is not now orange. Now it looks like a creamsicle.
Let down. What does this mean?
My breast milk. My breast milk let down. That's right. I'm breastfeeding right now.
How can you be breastfeeding?
I've had a baby.
Really?
And I'm spotting. I'm a mess. Honest to God, I need to get back to Vegas to my gynecologist.
Okay.
All right, Pat, you're in control, my friend. Thank you.
Week on the Don and Mike Show for three.
Hot POA CBS sportscaster.
Oh, who is Bonnie Bernstein?
No, I'm sorry.
Hey, Tim, it's your chance to steal. You only have $1, my friend.
Who is Jim Nance?
Right.
$3 for you. Yes, sir. What a girl he is.
Hot piece of ass, Jim Nance.
Hot piece of ass. He could travel in my road show, if you know what I mean.
Goddamn right.
Absolutely. Don't say that. That's bad. Thank you.
You're welcome, Wayne.
All right, Tim, you're in control. Select again, my friend.
Let's go, Celebrity News for one.
Here you go. Female comedian sentenced to 200 hours of community service.
Who is Paula Poundstone?
And she has been maligned. I want to defend her. She is a wonderful lady. There's so many women comedians that are misunderstood. I feel bad for Paula Poundstone, Rosie O'Donnell, and especially Elaine Boozler. Why can't she get a gig? All right, you're in control.
Take a look at her face?
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. She's a lovely lady. They're all lovely. Paula Poundstone, I gave her some of my suits. Select again, Tim.
Celebrity News for two.
Country singer identified with blacks, hospitalized with bronchitis.
Who is Clint Black?
Hey, Pat, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Garth Brooks?
No. Oh, come on. How is Garth Brooks identified with blacks? Please. No, see, I thought I tricked you into saying Charlie Pride.
Yeah, that's what I would say, Charlie Pride.
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. That's the man in black.
The man in black.
You're a trickster.
Black.
You're a kookula. Oh, man. Would you like to come to the Margaret Show with me tonight?
Margaret Show.
She's funny and insightful.
No, thank you.
She's terrific. Tim, you're in control, my friend.
Celebrity news for three.
Famous evangelist, age 82. Parkinson's disease, and hey, listen, this guy, he don't play the lottery. He just broke his foot also.
Who is Billy Graham?
The Reverend Billy Graham.
$3.
Right.
Way to go. $3 for you. All right.
Let's go. Home video, DVD for one.
All right. New on home video, DVD. These are tough this week. Here you go. Oh, you should get this one.
Good luck, Tim.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Stars Ian McGregor. Am I pronouncing that right?
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
The enormous talent. He's a great wit.
And Sam Jackson. And what's her name?
All right there. Pat, your chance to steal.
No clue.
Yeah, I don't know any of the stars. It's the Star Wars, the Phantom Menace.
Oh,
it's coming out on DVD.
Right. Fantastic.
What's the girl's name, Rob?
Natalie Portman.
That's her.
You know who I used to call the Phantom Menace?
Who?
Rhett Butler.
Oh, she's funny.
Oh, she was like, she'd come in like a phantom. We had an affair.
Home
we ate at the Y.
She wouldn't put the strap on?
I still don't have the feeling of my third finger.
from
Brett Butler. Yes, sir, violent.
She almost snapped it clean off, didn't
clean off, absolutely. I had to go to the emergency room. That was tough to explain. Where's this been? Looked like I put it in a chipper. All right, Tim, you're in control.
Home video for two.
Stars Heath Ledger. I know, listen, I had to look in the Entertainment Weekly magazine to find out who the hell this guy is.
Hey, Pat, your chance to steal.
What is A Knight's Tale?
Hey, that's a good pull, Pat. That's right, A Knight's Tale.
What was the dollar value?
Dos.
$2 for you there, Patrick.
Let's wrap up the category for three.
All right, good luck with this one. Stars Matt Dillon and Liv Tyler.
I do not know.
Hey, Tim, your chance to steal.
No idea.
Yeah, who the fuck knows it? Anybody remember this movie, One Night at McCool's?
No, didn't see it. Didn't go right to cable.
I don't know, it's in the DVDs now.
I love my cable. I love Animal Planet.
Listen, that's it. That was the baseball, the celebrities, the Don and Mike show.
That is the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy. Come on now, I'll be late for the Rita Rudner show.
States and Capitals now.
All right.
Who's in the lead here, Wayne?
Okay, we got Pat over here, Pat Heller, a fine, lovely man from Clinton, New Jersey, with the total of $16. Over on the other side, Tim Girard, our Manassas golf salesman, he's got $8, but he's lovely.
All right, both
he's lovely. He really
is.
Guys, good luck here. You're going to bet it all now. We physically force you both to bet it all in front of Low Budget Jeopardy. And here's your category. Oh, top of the charts. We love this category. Top of the charts. 22 years ago today, My Sharona was the number one song from this number one album. Okay? In 1979, today.
Wow.
My Sharona.
Oh, man.
Was the number one song.
That's a brand new song.
From this album. Guys, don't forget to answer in the form of a question and good luck.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wayne Newton. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive a tour of my Wayne's World. My secret garden of special, luxurious treats in my bathroom. You'll see my collection of wigs, teddies, and bath oil beads. My special soaps, my lotions, my powders. And ladies and gentlemen, the largest slipper collection in Las Vegas. All part of my world, and all given to you on videotape. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Geronimo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cash for you and me.
Phone call for you.
Fantastic.
Little Richard.
Oh, he's a good man. I love him. Lucille. All right. Hey, Little Richard, I love you, man.
Who do I want to go to first here,
Wayne? Low man on the totem pole, Don. That would be Tim.
Okay. Oh, Tim, the golf salesman.
That's correct, Don.
Tim, My Sharona, the number one single from this number one album.
I'm going to go with the trick question answer of what is My Sharona?
No, absolutely not.
No, you're incorrect, sir. As Ed McMahon, my good personal friend, would say. All right, Tim.
Pat in Clinton, New Jersey. Pat, you could win if you have the right answer.
What is the Kinks?
Oh.
No, I'm so, so sorry.
The album, Meet the Knack.
Ah, the Knack. Meet the Knack.
What is it?
Get the Knack.
Get the Knack.
Get the Knack.
Get the Knack.
Get the Knack. Yes, sir. I've been trying to get the Knack of it for years.
All right. Well,
I'm never going to get the Knack of anything with this yeast infection.
I had it left up, too, but no one got it right. Oh, well. Hey, it's the type of game that Ken Stevens loves. We're giving away no money today.
Oh, that's your cheap boss, right?
Wasn't the album cover just like Meet the Beatles? Very much like Meet the Beatles, right? Get the Knack. That was it.
That's a good, good game, though. You played it well, boys.
Listen,
thank you.
Pat, you get to keep the money that you've earned. And Tim, don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Both of you guys, just go away. Here now is Wayne Juice, Lane Newton, to tell you what you won. Wayne, Lane Juice.
I'd just like to say thank you to both these contestants. Guys, you played a good game, and you were both very good sports. Thank you. Thank you for that. And here are your prizes. Are you ready, fellas?
I'm ready.
You won a Corona prize pack. Ice cold Corona. Extra and Corona Light. Relax and enjoy a Corona. I hope you enjoy that. It's good beer. I love Corona.
Corona.
I put a lime in my Corona.
Corona.
And now, here's your big prize. You have won the Mind of the Married Woman prize pack. The Mind of the Married Woman is HBO's comedy series that shows what really goes on inside of the married woman. Sunday nights at 10 p.m. only on HBO. The Mind of the Married Woman.
Man!
Yes, thank you.
Man, I think.
The married man.
Oh, whatever.
Mind of the married man.
Oh, you guys, what's in the sex?
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Tim. Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you for playing the game. And, Wayne, good luck in Afghanistan, Pakistan.
Yeah. Pakistan, all over there. And we just want to say salute to all the people that are putting themselves on the line each and every day. And, Donnie, you come to Vegas and see me sometime.
Not a chance. We do have a special plug. This segment was sponsored. We'd like you to, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, pleased to be joining Mr. Mike O'Mara this Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Fair Oaks Golf Park for the $1 million hole-in-one shootout. Let me tell you something about Mike O'Mara. Mm-hmm. He's a great man, and this will be great fun. And I urge you all, please, to make him look good and go out today to the Fair Oaks Golf Park for the $1 million hole-in-one shootout. Mike will be limoing over there from 4 to 6 p.m. on his Appaloosa.
I know that. A lot of people have been saying to me, Don, what is your friend Mike going to be doing? And let me just say, come see Mike collect his appearance check.
He's a good boy.
Today from
He's
4
such
to
a
six.
Good boy.
He is.
He'll be donating that whole check to his kids.
Okay.
Thank
Wayne,
you very much.
Always remember and never forget. Low budget Jeopardy's a production. Uncle Ron Incorporated.
And is distributed by King World. Don, thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
Check out my vagina.
Oh, he did. Wayne Newton.
Wow. Man.
That's a mind blower that they're sending him to Afghanistan
that's
and
cool.
Pakistan.
Yeah, but what a great drag show it'll be.
Jesus Christ. We want to give our troops some morale, for God's sake.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to give away a trip to Iceland, okay?
That's morale building.
Yes, a vacation courtesy of IcelandAir.com and also the mother chucker, Chuck Stossel. Now, has anybody told Charlie about the contest I want to do yet? Is it anybody run that by him? Is he up or down for it? He gives that the down, thumbs down on that?
Mm.
Aw, he's no fun. It's no fun.
What do you want to do to him?
Nothing to him.
What do you want to do with him?
What have a Charlie Stossel sound alike contest?
Oh, come on.
Oh, he's still pissed from that time he did the impression of him.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It'll be something Stossel related, though.
Right.
We'll give away the trip to Iceland when Chuck comes in just 8 moments.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me, Chief. I got something here you might want to see. I hate when people talk during the movie.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Ryan, you call the local lines today, too, at 202-432-1067.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right.
Naturally. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now listen. You got to pay attention to the Chuck Stossel movie segment here. And I'll tell you why. Someone's going to win a trip to Iceland. Based
right.
on what Charlie Stossel has to say on today's show. And here he is now, the man who refuses to be
parodied on this show, Chuck Stossel, the love muscle. Hi, Chuck.
Guys, how's it going?
Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Mike.
Hold on, let me play him in.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico, here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Charlie, both Mike and I cannot take our eyes off whatever it is that's on your upper lip.
Oh, it got cold last week, major chap. I was all the way across.
All right.
How's the cold now?
It's fine.
Okay. Are you feeling better now?
I felt fine last week.
Oh, good. You sound better today.
According to Don, though, I was near death.
Yes, of course.
With either the AIDS or the anthrax. Right. I don't know which one.
Right.
No, Charlie should tell the truth. What happened is we got close in the back room and the zit jumped off my nose and ran over to your lip.
No, I don't think they make anthrax quilts.
What's that?
Maybe soon, though.
Yeah. All right, well, listen.
Maybe soon.
Pay attention to Chuck. Because he's going to be talking about movies. He'll be giving away a trip to Iceland here. I went to see that Denzel movie.
Yeah, I heard.
Loved it.
Good.
I mean,
But I told you, and this is something that you said on Monday that I really didn't go out and rave about it. I thought it was very good. It was great seeing Denzel Washington as the bad guy.
I mean, you gave it three. I would think it's a four-star movie.
No, 4 stars, that's Oscar. That's
contact.
Deal.
No, see, Charlie, but not Oscar, but just, wow, what a great friggin' movie.
But Oscar loves Denzel.
Don't they?
Yeah, but Oscar's not going to like Denzel in this one.
I don't know.
Because he's a bad man.
He's a bad MF-er in this movie.
I don't know, but he's very good at it.
It's fantastic.
He's very good at it.
Loved it. Well, you didn't screw up the deal on that, on Training Day, which was a great movie.
Maybe you'll go see Zoolander and I can really F it up.
Oh, you know what? You know who did see Zoolander? I'll give you props on this.
Uh-oh.
Because I purposely did not see Zoolander.
Right.
Because you, Charlie Stossel.
I loved it.
You loved it. So I said to my wife, she said, let's go see Zoolander.
The trailer looks so bad to me. That's why I didn't want to go see it.
I said, I'm not going to, you know what? There she
Hello?
Is. I was going to say, she's never around. Honey.
Oh, hi, Pumpkin.
Baby, I got Chuck Stossel here.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Frida.
And I know that...
I was not happy. Hi.
No.
Hi, Frida.
Well, no, he's in here getting his balls busted, as always.
I know, but I'm not usually a part of that.
Oh, but, you know, he's a beaten man by the time he makes his way in the studio.
Is it just because I consort with the enemy?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, maybe just by... just because proximity, I'm, you know, your... Gal pal, Charlie, is not friendly to me.
Oh, Frida, you know I love you.
Mike, would you stop it, please?
Stop what?
Charlie, Mike keeps doing this.
Yeah.
with his tongue over his upper lip.
I wasn't doing anything of the kind.
When you're not looking.
I wasn't doing anything of the kind.
I swear I hate you.
So listen, you know, Frida says to me, do you want to go see Zoolander? And really, I said... Listen, Charlie Stossel loved it. Frankly, I can't go see it.
Well, it was one of those movies I went just because I'm a good mother. Because really, I've seen so many bits from the comedians that have been made into long movies that, you know, a cute idea but does not stretch out to a movie. And so I was just being nice to Bart because it was, I forgot what other dumb movies he wanted to see. So that was the least of the bad.
But get to the point about the Charlie Stossel thing.
Anyway, I was... When you go to a movie, maybe because I had such low expectations, I really enjoyed it.
And she came home, and one of the first things she said was, are you ready for a flash? Charlie Stossel was right on that Zoolander was one of the funniest movies.
It's a riot.
She's ever seen. Look at Mike now. Just look at him now. Now he's got a piece of paper on his upper lip.
Stop. That's it. I'll
where
stop.
Charlie's leaving.
I will completely. God almighty.
Charlie, listen, my wife's giving you the props here.
Thank you for that.
She took your recommendation. She loves Zoolander.
So doesn't everybody love the Zoolander?
Not everything that Charlie says on this show is wrong.
I mean, good for you, Charlie. Thank you, Mike.
More like me than he does like you sometimes.
I think so. I bet he's not even going to review the movie that I want to see this weekend.
What?
Because it's in such limited release. The Albert Brooks movie?
Oh, yeah. I haven't even seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it.
What is this one called?
It's called My First Mister.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it.
Yeah,
well, yeah, it's super limited.
Really? I found out about it. We're going down to Homoville to see it. Where's the only place is at?
DuPont Circle?
DuPont Circle tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
All right, sweetie. Love you.
All right, Boober. Bye, sweetie. Bye, Charlie.
Bye.
Thank you, Frida.
All right.
Bye-bye.
But Charlie, really, that's what she said. She came in this first, and she says, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She said, Charlie Stossel was right. Zoolander is a great movie.
It's a riot.
Okay.
And it has midgets in it.
All right, so little people, dwarves. Scott will drive down here. Scott the dwarf will drive down here and beat you, the crap out of you.
All right, I'm going to scold you, Scott. Charlie, what is new this weekend at the theater?
We can talk about Corky.
Oh,
Corky Romano.
Oh, my God. That can't suck enough.
Hey, it kind of looks funny,
I think. Oh, not that guy.
I think looks Chris funny. Kattan's a riot on Saturday Night Live. Mr. Peepers?
Did you see the clip where he just dressed up like a Girl Scout?
You want some cookies?
He's kind of funny.
Oh, my God. Does everybody that goes on Saturday Night Live get a feature film?
And did Lorne Michaels? Will Ferrell in the Zoolander.
Yeah, right. Okay. Did Lorne Michaels produce it?
No.
All right.
No,
when are they going to give those Mad TV people some of their own feature
films? Don't know.
Where is it? Gone.
Where'd it go?
Don't know.
No, all right. Corky Romano.
This is about a kind of ditzy veterinarian. His family is involved in the mafia. Peter Falk plays the dad, Pops Romano.
Okay.
He has the two brothers, played by Peter Berg and by Christopher Penn, Peter and Pauly.
Is this the theme song to Corky Romano?
It is. Like a girl. It's sung by Chris Kattan.
Here he is now, Corky. Anybody knows.
Comes in against the family.
There's only one Corky.
There it is.
Evidence comes in against the family, so Pops decides he wants to get his kind of naive youngest back into the fold. He has them join the FBI. He becomes a special agent to get the evidence, but he becomes a pretty gosh darn good agent.
Oh, happy ending.
All right, there you go. How many dollars do you give it?
$2?
It's a movie that is at times funny in spots. I haven't seen the Chris Burke cover before, and it's staring at me.
The cover of Chris Burke, of Corky CD. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Nice sweater, huh?
All right, what else, Charlie?
We have Bandits.
Oh, no, this is with Bruce Willis.
And Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton and Cate Blanchett, directed by Barry Levinson.
I love Cate Blanchett.
This movie is an absolute riot. I like this movie an awful lot.
When did she turn into, like, a great comic actress? She was great in that air traffic controller movie. You know, the one where she plays John Cusack's
wife in Pushing Tim.
And she does this great, I mean, she's British, right? She does this great American accent. And, you know, now she's just funny. She's right. She's a good actress.
And in this movie, she's very funny. They get to her later on, but this is about two bank robbers. Start in Oregon. They're going to work their way down to this great life that they're going to have south of the border. They're known as
down in old Mexico City. AMF.
They start heading down, and they're known as the sleepover bandits because how they rob a bank is they go and they meet the bank manager the night before at his house,
right.
Spend the night with him, have dinner with the family, and then take him in the morning and rob him. So that's how they are. Billy Bob Thornton gets all the laughs in this movie. His character is very similar to...
What?
Rob just started laughing.
Don't lose your focus,
Rob, what are you laughing
at?
Are you laughing
at the thing? Don't lose your focus.
Is it the thing on his lip?
I'm not laughing at Charlie's lip, but I'm not laughing at any pantomime Mike might be doing. I'm not doing any. You've been looking at me the whole time. Have I been doing
anything? No, what was Mike doing, Rob?
I wasn't doing anything.
What was he doing?
I wasn't doing...
You were.
I was not.
You were.
What was he doing, Rob?
I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's very unprofessional of me. Go ahead.
Did you drive the truck today?
What's that?
Did you drive the truck today?
No.
Okay.
All right.
No, I know your parking space.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, you must go key your car.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't doing it. Rob's lying. All
right. Unite, Charlie. Thank you. You and me, Rob.
Right. Okay.
So they start on this trip. They end up meeting Cate Blanchett, and
right.
it's Billy Bob Thornton that gets all the laughs in this movie. Bruce Willis plays a character very much like the last movie, The Whole Nine Yards, that was kind of like this. He's that tough guy. Billy Bob Thornton is a lot like a character... from Ruthless People, the Helen Slater character.
I'm not,
kind of ditzy
Rob is
and hypochondriac and just kind of loosey-goosey
right.
about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's their wacky adventure down.
How many porcelain dolls?
Three good ones. It's a movie that you end up chuckling at an awful lot because it's an awful lot like The Whole Nine Yards. Smile on your face the whole time, and it's very good.
All right, anything else this weekend?
No, that's all we're going to talk about this weekend. You got my head bobbing back and forth here between Mike and Rob.
So you're afraid to just comment on the movies because now you're so afraid of the...
I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. Well, oh, no,
what is it,
sir.
What is it on your upper lip, though?
It's a chap. Okay, it's a chap.
What's it?
Damn.
That's what I love about Charlie coming in here. He'll just say it. I hate both of you.
Chucky the Chap.
It is that. Chucky the Chap. All right, there he is. And there he is, everybody. Charlie Stoffel.
May I now?
No.
Oh,
you may not, because you're going to give away the trip now.
Does he have to read his sponsor? Is it a CarMax?
No, no, no. He's Charlie's not sponsored today.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is just, I'm going to take some random calls. I'm going to ask a question about Charlie's movie reviews today. Okay, 877-365-3636. Call the local lines, 202-432-1067. Got to wait however long, 2 days for the delay to catch up. Here you go. All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who is this?
My name is Bob.
Bob. All right, Bob, were you listening to Charlie's movie reviews?
I was.
If you count up the total number of dolls for the movies reviewed, how many dolls?
Five.
Hey, what a go. That's good a good listener.
That's right, five.
Good job. Five dolls. He gave $2 to Corgi Romano and $3 to Bandits.
That's it.
That's right.
And hey, listen, you listen to Charlie's movie reviews, and now here is a Charlie's Legion to tell you what tell you what you've won.
Hello.
You've won a trip for two to Iceland. Congratulations. Your trip includes round-trip airfare on Iceland Air from BWI Airport and two nights hotel accommodations. Go to IcelandAir.com for more information. Iceland Air, the coolest airline crossing the Atlantic.
Great read.
Yeah, good read. And you, my friend, where are you from?
Manassas.
Manassas, Virginia. I was listening on good old WJFK. Well, enjoy your vacation to Iceland, okay?
I will. Thanks, John and Mike.
Beautiful. Thank you. Don't thank us. Who do you really want to thank?
Charlie Stossel.
There it is. Yeah. And what about Charlie do you want to thank the most?
Him and his legion.
This is a good listener right here.
His
big, that doesn't miss a beat.
Big lib legion.
Now I get to go out into the world.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Right,
thank you,
see
Charlie.
You later.
Hey, oh, listen, Charlie, hold on a second there, really. This Albert Brooks movie that I'm going to see, you heard anything about it? I mean,
nothing.
Is Albert Brooks' career so in the tank that...
The last few movies really haven't done very well.
Why do I think,
but
if it's a little obscure film, it might be pretty good?
This is not one of his, like Lost in America or Defending Your Life or one of these. It's not, I don't think this is a
The premise is that, you know that, who's the actress who looks like Helen?
Lily Sobieski.
Yes, okay, you know her?
Yeah.
Well, the premise is... The premise is that he's an old guy, and she falls in love with him.
Ooh.
Kind of a Lolita thing.
Wait a minute, romantic lead?
It's a fantasy.
Wrong.
No, it's a comedy.
About Albert. Oh, yeah, but still, even in a comedy, romantic lead.
I know.
It's romantic comedy.
But I like Albert Brooks.
Does he get along well with her seeing Ida?
Did you see the picture in the paper of him today? How he looks with the big horn-rimmed glasses and the... The professor look.
Age has not been kind. Listen, Albert Brooks is not a good-looking man. If you go back to Modern Romance, he wasn't a good-looking man.
Most significant amount of shoulder hair, though, any actor you will see.
He and Ed Asner and B. Arthur.
Right.
They need that apple stopping spray.
Yeah, they basically have to shave their neck so you'll know where their head starts.
All right, Charlie, you're off the hook. Good luck. Get out of here.
Bye, Charlie.
Charlie Stossel brought to you by Chapstick.
There he goes.
There he goes. Look at him. Look at how mad he is when he leaves the studio.
Medicated Chapstick.
Just leaves it. And I know the first word I was with, effers. I hate you. Pig effers. I hate coming in here to review the movies. All right. And he didn't want the... He didn't want that contest today.
That's all right.
But you know what? We have before we get to Buzz, a special treat.
Oh, good.
I'm seeing that it's the 12th of October, which means it's time for the first of many visits from the Don and Mike Halloween Spook.
Oh, that's good. You're starting them on time this year.
Yeah.
Look at them.
These guys, they're incidentally, they're all dead.
Halloween. Oh, look, Steve Allen.
They drop by. Every once in a while, just to scare us. And look at, they've got a spot for Osama bin Laden.
Oh, boy, I hope he's there soon.
As always, we're going to ask the newest member to step up and say something, so just wait a second.
Yep.
But I can't find them for the life of me, and there's Halloween spooks outside my window frame.
Of all the dead Halloween spooks, who's the newest member that wants to stand up and say hello?
Lisa, you are on the air.
Oh, that's just his career that's dead.
Oh, that's right.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Well, there they are, the Halloween spooks.
Oh, aren't they adorable? Oh, bye, guys, in your tattered sweaters.
along.
You see, from time to time, we'll open the door, and they'll magically they'll be there.
They're yeah.
Let's go to Guy Bridley now. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to perhaps the longest-running stupid joke we've had in the history of the show.
Amen.
People love it.
The Halloween spooks.
Well, no. Show me the research that says that.
Well, we've been flooded with calls over the last several days.
I should point out that was...
One lady call.
That was by request.
No, one lady call.
Two ladies call.
There they are.
And there was an instant feedback.
Oh, yeah, we got one instant feedback.
They're popular as ever.
At WNEW.com. There they are, the Halloween spooks.
Okay, thanks.
Wow. Oh, it's time for Buzz.
Yes.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
verboten,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Guy Bridley.
He made it up.
The lead story has to be that, the Halloween spooks are back.
Oh, look at that. There they are. Buzz, they just can't stay out of here today.
I know. We love them.
Yeah, she's still doing her solo. Familiar.
Halloween Spooks is sponsored by Vantage Cigarettes, incidentally. They're saving a spot for Frank Gorshin.
Yeah, he's going to be right up there, right up the lead dancing role.
Buzz, what... you can't do the news with this one.
There they go.
What is the lead story today in the news and comments?
Today's headline, Anthrax for Mr. Brokaw.
Oh, yeah, right. NBC.
Wow.
Christ, it's somebody at NBC's got it.
Yeah. It's a weird world we live in.
Is it Emerald?
No.
No.
No, I've sort of given you a hint, actually.
Oh,
it was like destined for him? The envelope was opened by Mr. Brokaw's personal assistant.
Holy.
Wow.
Wow.
Holy yes.
Wow.
All right.
And he didn't send any to the three sisters, did they?
Jesus. I know you're like me. You're trying to think of every lame NBC
every
show.
Every bad NBC show.
Well, we could be here a while.
Yes, we could.
It wasn't for Inside Schwartz, was it?
Oh,
is that the show I'm thinking of? Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it wasn't for Ann Robinson, was it?
Oh, I hope not.
You are the weakest Anthrax. Goodbye. Goodbye. That was very
professional.
And Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
As heard on the radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, we love taking your phone calls. It's our favorite part of the show. National Lines, 877-365-3636. Or call us on the local line, 202-432-1067. Hey, kids, listen, starting next week, the big money is back.
All right.
We have the opportunity to blow $6,000. And we're going to split it up amongst a bunch of winners. Starting Monday, the big money is back. Courtesy of Simply Wireless. Hit their website, please, simplywireless.com. And next week, we'll crank the four-hour club back up, too. We've just been super deluxe busy this week. Sorry about that. Now, with the news and the comments, here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A woman who works at NBC in New York's Rockefeller Center has contracted anthrax.
Ugh.
Let me stress, this is just one case, and the woman is said to be in no danger. Doctors say they expect her to fully recover. She's being treated and is responding well to that treatment. She apparently contracted the virus through a piece of mail sent to Tom Brokaw. She is his personal assistant. In this case, the virus was absorbed through the skin, which is more treatable than the virus inhaled by three people at a Florida tabloid newspaper. But as in Florida, the FBI is investigating, along with the federal government Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Anthrax is not contagious. At the NBC, they've closed down a section of their building at Rockefeller Center, and the other networks, ABC and CBS, have closed their mail rooms entirely in response to this.
I hope the CBS store remains open.
Yeah, it's important to keep the CBS network going.
CBS store.
They don't have to worry about terrorism there. No one goes there.
I was going
to
say, that would be the safest place to store the anthrax.
Exactly.
Boy, which would be, which is a worse...
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
I'm just trying to think, which is the worst way to go? Do you get anthrax or do you have to be Tom Brokaw's personal assistant? Okay. Can you imagine that?
Cindy.
And what if he wanted a latte? He could never say L.
I like a latte, please.
What?
I'm really bummed out about that.
What'd you want?
Tom Brokaw.
But she's going to be okay, right?
That's what they say. She'll be okay. Good. Responding well.
You know, I don't think that that's a terrorist thing. I just think that's a nut.
That's a nut thing, probably.
Yeah, it's just like some dumb nut.
Exactly. Let's hope that's what it is.
No, I think that's what it is, Buzz.
The stock market made some great gains over the past couple of days, rising back to where it was before the attack on America.
Oh, you know, he's going to be making a big deal about that on the news tonight, though. Don't you think? I mean, he'll do the thing where he's brave.
I don't know, because there might be protocol in place about that as to what they do. You know, it's not like this free-form environment where we can say what's on our mind.
No, but I mean,
they kind of control the output, and that might be what they want to have happen.
Yeah, but I mean, even if he just comes out to the fact that I'm sure he gets the press to just, he's brave enough to go on TV tonight after his assistant got this thing.
Right, that's amazing.
I mean, you know, watch the ratings, they're going to... There you go. But wants to watch the Brokaw man tonight.
Interesting. And the other anchor man will be probably talking about Brokaw this evening, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, meanwhile, over at Fox News Channel, so desperate for ratings.
Yeah, they're starting to give it to each other.
Yeah, Tony Stone's going to be just opening everybody's mail. What? Oh, hold on. Mail, wait. Let me.
Licking it.
No anthrax. No anthrax. Give me Bill O'Reilly's mail.
Jesus Christ.
You know, the thing is, though, remember that scare when they were first doing it? The thing about it is they can treat the stuff once they find out you got it.
Absolutely.
And she contracted it about 2 weeks ago?
Yes, and especially when it's gotten through the skin as opposed to being inhaled, it's much more treatable.
So absolutely treatable with antibiotics.
So the fact that, I mean, I know you don't know the answers to these questions, but the fact that she's sitting there with an envelope and it goes through her skin and she still does not inhale it, means that it's not all that easy to get into your lungs.
Right. It's not one of the more effective forms of bioterrorism, fortunately.
Okay. All right.
As I was saying, now, the stock market was back up to where it was before...
Have they dusted the envelope for Dan Rather's fingerprints?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a scandal?
Stock market's back to where it was before the terrorist attacks, but then... The government reports came out about inflation and retail sales. Wholesale prices were up nearly 0.5% last month, more than expected. Retail sales, meanwhile, fell a whopping 2.5% in September, biggest drop since the government started keeping track nearly 10 years ago. The Dow, right now, down 155 points, NASDAQ down 33.
No big whoop, Buzz, hold on. Right. Jujubee is on the phone. Jujubee.
Hello.
Hello.
I want you to save me from the anthrax.
Why? What do you mean, Jujubee? What?
You are my gods. I will do whatever you say. Protect me, please.
Jujubee?
Yes.
What is this? What is the bit here?
I don't get it.
You are my gods. You will protect us all from anthrax.
All right, Jujubee.
Whatever,
you got it.
Deliver us from evil, please.
Whatever.
Okay, thank you.
You're fine.
Hey, jot down that number, will you?
Here you go.
Chase that call.
That was Jujubee, everybody.
Nice fella.
The FBI is standing by the warning it gave yesterday.
I don't know what that was.
Me neither.
That's a call. And that's one of those calls that they put up on the screen in a different color,
right?
Which indicates, like, take this call next.
Well, what did they say when they called? I always like to know the little intelligence.
Hey,
we do our own little intelligence report.
Hey, Joe, come here for a minute.
Nice.
Here we go. Now we'll find out. I don't even know who screened that call.
Find out what the real dilly is, yo.
He said Jujubee and said anthrax.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I thought he was going to go somewhere with it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so it was the same voice?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was like a Jorge-type hybrid, you know?
All right.
But okay. Obviously, he had nothing to offer.
Right. Okay, thank you, Joe. Bye-bye.
The FBI is standing by the warning it gave yesterday that more terrorism could be directed at the U.S. over the next several days.
Could someone send Joe some anthrax, please?
Oh, no.
Stop it.
No, I'm kidding.
Jesus
Christ. I'm kidding. Not enough to kill him.
Oh, God.
Just enough to learn him.
Oh, no.
The FBI warning irked many Americans and possibly the president because it was so vague. Nothing about what or where or how.
Joe get the anthrax, he'd probably smoke it.
The FBI says it got an increasing number of...
Sorry, I had to do the Joe laugh.
Send Joe some green anthrax.
The FBI says it got an increasing number of credible reports through the CIA and other agencies that additional terrorist acts are likely. Quoting one senior intelligence official, this is the real deal. And it is the second time in a week the FBI's asked law enforcement agencies to be on highest alert. It's the first time the Bureau's mentioned a specific time frame.
You know what pisses me off about this? If this is the real deal, high-level source, then what the hell is it?
And the time frame is what? Just
this
from
weekend.
Now?
Through the weekend at this point is
you know,
the forecast.
This is really pissing me off. If they have, a supposed credible threat, then give us, I think we deserve to have the information so that we can be more vigilant.
Jesus Christ.
In Washington, the FBI has told the police here to be on the lookout for truck bombs, but many local police departments say they are already on highest alert and can't do much more than they're already doing.
So
that's the D.C. way, isn't it? That is always what the... We can't do much more. Where is it? Gone.
Gone.
Where's the highest alert?
Don't know.
So it's not surprising.
They're getting ready for snow removal.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, the snow plows. Probably about 4 months later, our first snowstorm.
Probably should start now.
Federal government to D.C. Can you do any more?
No.
So it's not surprising.
What did you want me to do?
No, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
What were you doing?
I was just saying, you were going to be D.C., and I was speaking to you.
Okay, all right.
We're all a little obsessed right now.
It's not surprising that Americans are buying more guns, and it's not just the gun people anymore. Gun shop owners say professionals, like doctors and lawyers, who've never owned a weapon, are buying them now.
Don, baby, how's it going?
One shop owner says he's only seeing more women and senior citizen customers.
Hey, we got it. Don, baby, how's it going?
I want to fire it now.
Officials in Texas say applications for concealed handgun permits have increased more than 100% since the attack on America.
Yeah, that's good. Let's shoot the anthrax.
New York got an envelope from a rich Saudi prince yesterday and then told him to stuff it. Al-Waleed bin Talal gave the city a check for $10 million for its Twin Towers fund for the families of firefighters and police lost in that attack. And then the prince said U.S. foreign policy is partly to blame for the attacks. And angry Mayor Giuliani refused the check and said the prince's statements are not only wrong, quote, they're part of the problem. To suggest that there was justification only invites this happening in the future.
Well, now, wait on.
Well, the good time was had by all.
Oh, wait, hold on. You know, okay, the guy's a jack-off, but why don't we take his money anyway? Why don't we cash the check?
You're not alone in that. A lot of people are, you know, saying maybe it was an overreaction. I know the State Department has said, back off on that. I Saudi Arabia is, an ally.
Hey, take the money. If the guys give us $10 million to help rebuild and do it, take the money, then say F you.
But I agree with Rudy Giuliani, though. He said, you know, to put a justification on that kind of act.
Well, just wait till the check clears.
The mayor was saying that would just invite more. The prince then left the $15,000 a night room at the Plaza Hotel, of which he owns half, and quickly returned with his entourage to Saudi Arabia. A New York police cadet who was listed as missing after the World Trade Center collapse is now the subject of a hold and detain order. There's some thought he might still be out there. The cadet is a native of Pakistan. He was just leaving his Bayside Queens home with the Quran in his hands just before the attack, but he never showed for work that day. His mother believes he's being held by the CIA or the FBI, but the FBI says it's been investigating the young man who has a degree in biochemistry. The NYPD says it thinks that the former cadet may have died at the World Trade Center, but also says someone who looked like him was spotted yesterday morning in the city.
Right. Hold on, Buzz. We got a break. Let me see who's on this phone. Hello?
Oh, boy. Hi, Graham Duck.
Hi there.
Hey, it's Donald Duck.
Yeah.
How you doing, Donald?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Are you having sex right now?
Well, not right now.
Well, what can we do for you, Don?
I'm very scared about the abstract.
Oh, okay. Yes, Don Duck.
Why don't you have sex right now?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Okay, all right.
That's what we really like.
Take your mind off.
Mike, you could be Daisy.
You'd probably be a better Daisy.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Yeah. All right. That's what we were looking for.
All right, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Don Duck checking in without his pants. Hello.
Don.
Yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Don, I know you don't really got no animosity towards the Redskins, but...
Oh, I got huge animosity.
That's what I was hoping
you
say.
My season tickets cost me...
I was hoping you say that.
$8,000 a year for those goddamn seats.
Hey, Don.
What?
$100 on the game.
You want me to bet on the Redskins?
I'm a bet on the Redskins. You bet on the Cowboys.
You're on.
100?
You're on.
100? All right. When can I collect?
On Tuesday when you come down to give me my $100.
All right, that's a bet.
Tuesday, you're on.
All right.
Now listen, I don't want 100 brothers coming down here. Just in case the Redskins happen to win the game, so
then you got
to
put this guy.
Yeah, you got to give your information to Lisa. Okay. All right, hold on a second. Right. And this money ain't for charity, okay?
No. I know what you're saying.
All right, this is real money.
All right.
Real money.
All right.
Go towards those goddamn club seats I got to pay for. For the league's worst friggin' team. Buzz, can you stand by, please?
Okay.
For more news and comments.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Sports.
They're marvelous, you daffy bastard. Leave them alone. They're beautiful.
Full-time entertainers, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, full-time entertainers, part-time bowlers. Out of my gutter balls, our next game is Wednesday night. Bowl America and Burke, Virginia, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag here. I don't want to let the pussy cat out of the bag.
Pussy cat.
I don't want to let the pussy out of the bag, but Lisa's been in contact with a bowling alley that has a liquor license that will close down the alley. I mean, no one will be able to come in except people we invite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we can bowl naked chicks.
There you go.
Dynamite Gutter Balls bowling all naked chicks.
Fantastic.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
That's good. Oh, that'll be good.
Ooh.
Us bowling against naked. Now, us bowling against naked guys.
Bad.
But naked chicks?
Good. Good.
Good. Anthrax?
Bad.
Yes. Buzz's news?
Good.
Right.
The monster knows.
There you go. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In early September, a high school student in Brooklyn told his classmates that the World Trade Center would soon disappear. That's been confirmed by Board of Education officials who say the student is a recent immigrant from Pakistan.
Bad.
They say police did investigate at the time after the student was quoted as saying, "Did you see those two buildings? They won't be standing there next week." End quote. The police have no comment.
Good.
A new survey shows that nearly 90% of Arab Americans support the U.S. military response to the attack on America. Yes, two-thirds say they feel embarrassed the attacks on America were carried out by people from Arab countries. And more than two-thirds say they favor an all-out war on countries that help or harbor terrorists.
Good.
Survey also shows that one out of five have faced discrimination since September 11th.
Bad.
Right. We now know the real reason the latest Emmy Awards broadcast was canceled was because many of the stars were afraid to go.
Bad.
They feared for their security, even though there had been no specific threats. The producers refused to say which stars were nervous.
Ellen.
Maybe they'll feel safer on a military base. There's now talk of doing a show in mid-November, a kind of USO show for the troops.
Christ, yeah, right here. Suck this.
Yeah, really. The story was provided by an anonymous source to the Associated Press who says the military base idea is just one of several being floated.
No, that idea, that's a bad idea. Listen, let's clear the lines, 877-365-3636.
All right.
202-432-1067, caller 100. You know the drill, dial recklessly, you animals, a prize package selected especially for you, but we're in no way are we done with Buzz. More Buzz.
They told us from the beginning that this would be a war that would require military officials to think outside the box. They're doing that. The Pentagon has turned to Hollywood types, asking them to imagine various scenarios for a terrorist retaliation to our war on terror.
Oh, that's, you know, that makes me feel unproud to be an American, to think that our guys are sitting around going, hold on. Get me Steven Spielberg on the phone.
Bunch of guys in leather black jackets.
Get me Jerry Bruckheimer on the phone. Give me the guy who did Armageddon.
Right.
Get me the guy who did Saving Private Ryan. I mean, come on. These are guys that make movies.
What we haven't known for a while is that some of the writers and producers have been working for the U.S. military for 2 years now.
Oh.
Developing special effects and storylines to help train our troops. And since September 11th, they've been thinking about what the terrorists' next move might be.
Oh, no, I don't want Ron Howard deciding what we're going to be doing in the war on terrorism.
Yeah, but you'd accept Wilford Brimley.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, the guy, the constipation guy, the oatmeal guy?
Yes, Wilford Brimley is very good. He's good.
He's good.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows?
I wonder if they've consulted with John Waters.
On walking.
They're all going to have mustaches.
Yay.
Bet you never thought you'd see this happen. On the top 40 countdown, the number one song in the country this week is The Star Spangled Banner. At least among singles, Whitney Houston's rendition of the patriotic anthem is the biggest seller.
Back when she could sing.
Number something or other.
That's right, it's the version she sang at the Super Bowl 10 years ago. It was re-released 2 weeks ago as a charity CD single. It's already been certified platinum, shipping more than 1 million copies. It's also raised over $1 million for the New York Police and Fire Departments.
That's good.
And for a while, it appeared that Gary Condit's face would be the hot-selling Halloween mask this year. But the new number one is Osama bin Laden.
bad.
The George W. Bush masks are not selling the way they would have if we were still making fun of him. Right now, nobody's making fun of a president who enjoys 92% of the public support. Experts say we tend to buy celebrity masks to show disrespect. Lizzie Grubman was an early candidate, but she too has now been scrubbed. What is flying off the shelves?
What?
Police, firefighter, and soldier costumes. Lady Liberty and Uncle Sam. Aside from Bin Laden's scary costumes are mostly out this year. The good news? Leggy cheerleader and busty pinup girl costumes are in.
Well, good. Good.
Always in.
That got the double good.
Two goods. Double good.
In sports, the Washington Capitals' new multi-million-dollar player is still limping. Yaromir Yager missed practice yesterday as the team listed him day-to-day. Yager's knee is badly swollen. He can't bend his leg after being injured Wednesday night.
Oh, that's bad.
But as Dan Patrick says, aren't we all really day-to-day?
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. Quoting Yager, I think I might have to go to the doctor. I can't even walk.
Oh, I think I might.
Oh, no.
I think I might. Finally, OxyContin is a powerful painkiller relied upon by cancer patients. Others who suffer chronic pain.
Double good.
But for them, for the people who need it, the drug's getting harder to find. A lot of pharmacies are refusing to stock it now that it's become such an abused narcotic. Pharmacies have been targeted for robbery and burglary since Oxy became a popular drug to abuse.
For what?
OxyContin is known these days as hillbilly heroin. Because it is especially sold and used in Appalachia.
Oh, no. Really? Well, when can you get us some, Buzz?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! No! We're out of time.
Yes.
Well, thank you for another great week of shows.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you free to love you, Bart.
Pleased to be joining Mr. Mike O'Mara today. I want the tapes for that. I want the good and bad tapes for this plug. Join Mike O'Mara. Join Mr. Mike O'Mara today from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Fair Oaks Golf Park for the $1 million hole-in-one shootout to be great fun with a great man.
Yes.
Hey, I got two goods.
All right.
Come see Mike pick up his paycheck. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday's episode. Start giving away money again, courtesy of Simply Wireless. SimplyWireless.com. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am Caller 100.
Right. Yes, you are. And what's your name, my friend?
John.
Johnny, where are you from?
Right here in Fairfax.
Johnny, you won the Mind of the Merry Man prize pack. Mind of the Merry Man, HBO's comedy series. Sunday night, new episode, 10 o'clock on HBO. But wait, this morning, you've also won the Corona prize pack. Ice cold Corona Extra, Corona Light. Relax and enjoy a Corona. Johnny, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Join the 4-Hour Club, please, everybody. We'll start making those calls again on Monday, now that we got some money to give away. Join the club at P.O. Box 3649.
All right.
Washington, D.C. 20007. Or join on the web at DonandMikeFans.com. Want to see how hideous we are? Go to WNEW.com and see pictures of us bowling.
Oh, no.
They're ridiculously awful pictures.
Bad.
Looks like you have very bad. They're awful. That's it.
Man, that's cold.
That's some cold ass. We got to go. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday, everybody. Thank you. Goodbye, Buzz.
Thank you. Goodbye, Don.
Thank you. Goodbye, Mike.
Thank you. Goodbye, Don.
See you at your appearance, Mike.
Yeah, everybody come out to Fair Oaks Golf Park. I'll be out there like in an hour.
And Robbie.
Happy anniversary, Carrie. I love you.
Made it through 5 years. And please throw your hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh, now.
Technique? What happened?
Don't know.
Where is it? In my mouth.
Gone.
Bad.
Bad.
Bad. We will see you Monday.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.